It's time for the Morning Invasion.
I love those guys.
On Star 88.
Good morning, old friends.
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
Wake up, fairy princesses, wake up.
Guess what day it is?
Get up before I get you up.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day.
Woo-hoo! This is Wednesday. She calls it over the hump day.
You know I'm in the room, chilling, kicking like I usually do. Might shot right through my back window, hit me in the chest. You know, I wasn't even tripping over it. It's like a little petty warning, you know? I ain't even tripping, though.
There is no shadow to be cast. An early spring is my forecast.
Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
No, please don't cry. Why can't you be smooth?
Smooth.
No, I know,
they keep
I
taking
know,
the ball.
No. Look. You ain't smooth while you're crying and all emotional, all right? You have to know that at your age.
Let Wednesday begin.
Hit it!
Oh, no. I'm messing everything up, guys. I blew it.
Oh, no.
Are
we even on the air?
No. We are not.
What happened?
Ish.
What'd you do?
I don't know.
Somebody didn't take a board
lap. I didn't take a lap. No.
I didn't?
No. Oh. Mayday.
The streamers, can they hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. The streamers can always hear you.
Thanks,
streamers.
Yeah, we're good.
There we go.
There we go.
I don't know what this one is.
Sorry, everyone. Should we play the intro again?
No, that worked. That worked. Intro works.
Okay. We just went silent.
No, we're good.
Hi, guys. There was a mistake made. Let that
my
be
bad.
A lesson to you all.
My bad.
Mistakes happen.
I started hitting buttons over here.
You got to keep rolling with it.
Start the show over, huh? Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Wingman. You have no idea how many times Buck and I did that throughout the years.
Yeah?
We'd be talking for 15 minutes, and then we'd finally answer a phone call. Yeah, we don't hear you guys. It's just dead air. It is Wednesday.
That's right.
Morning Invasion. 6:10.
High today of 35 degrees.
Do with that thing you said, Tail.
The weather?
Yeah, do that whole thing.
It's going to get real cold. Then it's going to warm up. Trust the Weather Channel. That's it.
Woo! Just glad we didn't say anything really funny.
I know.
Yet.
New game this morning. Name the year. We're going to play that coming up.
1997.
No,
whoa, we nailed it.
No.
Same time.
Nope. No cheating either, fellas.
You got it, dude.
I printed out my stuff because I know you guys like to go on the prep and get the answers. So I printed out stuff right
How
here.
How did you know?
Yep.
You're
I
like
know.
A wizard.
Guys, I have breaking news.
Oh, gosh. What'd you get?
I don't know. Just.
Did you win a thing on your game?
Another new Oreo flavor is coming soon.
What is it?
Filled cupcake flavor. It tastes like the inside of a cupcake.
Filled?
That's pretty exciting.
I gotta lie down.
When you said filled cupcake, I thought you meant like a field that you would frolic in. And then I got really, really confused.
Oh, man.
What?
I'm so hungry now.
It's a field of cupcakes.
I just want to eat.
Entire field. Well, that's good because it's Wing Wednesday.
Yes!
As your wingman.
Oh, my stomach is growling.
Today I'm not only the wingman, I am the wings man.
Your stomach
okay?
Sounds like a bear.
And what? That was my stomach.
I've got a list that's going to help you with your psyche, brah.
Yeah.
Depending upon what kind of wings you're into, I'm going to tell you a little bit about yourself. It's going to help you out, I promise.
My son Caleb and I love wings.
Dude, me dose, my friend. Me dose. Speaking of, we're going to need to talk a little bit because last night, Donathan, that would be Teo's lovely bride, was asking what the plan is for
sports holiday
coming up on Sunday. And we got to talk food. We got to talk food. I got a lot of stuff this morning, speaking of the big game and food and how to work it out.
Well, you're having a party, so I'm glad you're getting all these tips.
There's
and
party.
Yeah.
Party plans. Because I'm looking forward to coming over, but I don't want to come to some lame party.
It's a private party.
Dude.
It's a private engagement.
Dude, bro.
I want this party to be kicking.
It's going to be slamming.
Have you ever seen movies like Can't Hardly Wait or 10 Things I Hate About You? It's going to be a party like that.
With red cups everywhere?
Yeah, dude.
Everywhere.
Full of lemonade.
Well, no, great
what's
Kool-Aid,
wrong with you,
dude.
Man.
Come on, great Kool-Aid
hey,
for the win.
You don't come up. You don't come up in Steve-O's house, and you don't act like that.
Tang, you guys like Tang?
No,
ugh,
you know
gross,
that's
man.
One of the few things that's made me throw up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
You're
of
not
Tang.
Putting enough sugar in.
I think it just had too much of everything.
Yeah, Tang is the poor man's orange juice.
Yes, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Growing up in the trailer park in the junkyard, we drink a lot of Tang.
Did you grow mm-hmm. up in the Avery Salvage Yard in Manitowoc County, Wisconsin?
You know, it was that was a lot like my junkyard, except a lot smaller. Mine was a lot smaller than theirs. They had to have been loaded.
Your junk was a they lot had smaller to have been. Than theirs?
Well, I mean, yeah. But, well, think about it. In the documentary, they try to put up the business for like $500,000.
Oh, it's worth more than that. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
They could crush all of those cars, they could get millions.
They wouldn't have put up the business unless it was worth more. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there would have had to been some walking around money.
See, my parents every year, they'll crush the cars in the yard, mm-hmm. and depending on how much
they go crush the cars in the yard.
Yeah, the metals are going for aluminum and stuff like that. That's kind of how much they'll make, but they usually on average make around $50,000 to $60,000 a year just on crushing the junkyard.
See,
and theirs is like 50,000 times bigger than ours.
That's awesome.
So they could crush and make millions.
It depends on the strength of the yen, mm-hmm. the Chinese yen. That's the real playmaker in the world economy.
338-3700. Phone lines are open. Studio at star88.fm.
Mm.
We're streaming live at our website. You can hit that up at star88.fm. And we have no idea. Did you ever figure out if the webcam is working now?
I don't
There's
know.
There's a way to get to them?
The webcam is happening. I have no idea where to send you to watch it. Also, it's not doing that thing where it flip-flops like it's supposed to. Now it has because I've made it. Mm. So we can watch Steve-O play his game.
I'm just really pumped that I'm not on
yeah,
a camera
anymore.
Yeah,
there you are,
anymore.
Steve-O.
I'm trying to...
Nah.
I'm trying to get this this list, this article.
Doesn't seem like that's the...
Did you catch him playing video games?
I did.
Oh,
I had a horizontal phone.
That's a great shot because you can totally see what he's doing on his phone.
Hey, what's that? Oh, cool. What's that? What's that?
Nice look. Look.
Oh, man. Look. We got spy cameras in here.
Yeah.
Spy cam. Good. Dex, I'm not telling you about yours.
Almost as cool as Spy Kids.
I'll give you a hint. It's not that one, but there is one.
Is it on my back?
No, I watch it at home. You can't see it on the website. Right. You guys are crazy at home.
Speaking of crazy, Teo?
What?
Steve, I'm going to let you have this one.
Oh.
You've known Teo longer than I have.
He has.
So.
We've known each other for 70 years.
Take the lead on this one.
Okay.
What?
Set it up.
I'm standing up.
Set it up.
Well, here's the deal, guys. For those that don't know...
You all right?
Yeah, just choking on the spit. Dexter, you hail from good old San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You did quote unquote big time radio.
Big times.
So you have big time producer friends?
Yeah. So.
Those that don't know, I actually worked in national radio as well.
Mm.
Worked in NPR. So I've got some producer friends in the biz, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, said producer friends working some big-time shows, and one of those shows in particular shall remain nameless for now. But today, Teo.
What?
Gotta have a talk, man.
About what?
We love you.
Good.
We're your friends.
Keep it at that.
If you ever need anything, we're here for you. You can call on us, but it seems like we're not your go-to. And unfortunately, stumbled upon some things that gonna have to bring your wife in on.
You guys are making me nervous.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about it a little later.
I'm getting sweaty.
Unless we're talking about it right now. But we're gonna talk about it at some point.
You can't delay.
When you love someone, there's no better way than to privately confront your best friend on the radio. Am I right?
And that's the thing. Like, Steve-O and I, we had this conversation with your wife.
You guys are talking to Don.
We talked to Don before we talked to you, because that's also the great way to go.
Good, everyone.
Yeah. And if you want to blame somebody for us doing this on the radio, blame me, because...
That's true.
I like to share my life with our listeners.
He does.
And that's what I want for this show. I want the three of us to be able to share our lives.
You want me to share my life even though I don't want to, just because you do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Hey, you guys want to have the number one morning show in the universe?
Yeah.
You guys want that? Then you got to share your life.
I can do
that. There's no holding back.
I can do that. I feel like we should have consulted Kid Craddock before he passed away to know how to have that.
Rest in peace, Kid Craddock. He was one of my favorite radio guys.
Mm-hmm.
Really was.
I don't think you can just throw it out there like, hey, I know how to do this because I've been the number one show in the world because you haven't. So I don't know.
I don't know
why you can just make these plays.
We're on our way.
What do you want to do this, Dexter?
Another good thing is how you say you're going to confront your friend and then you decide to delay it for a couple
hours. Well, it's called a tease. It's called a tease.
This isn't friendship.
Did we throw you off your game?
I felt like I was doing a good job.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, bosses are happy. They're saying that.
How many bosses do we have all of a sudden?
You're one of the best wingmen that, you know, the station's ever seen.
They definitely said I was the best wingman. I heard that.
They actually did.
I felt that in my spirit with the force.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong.
I can read minds, so you guys don't mess with me.
Saw that this
I told
morning.
You this morning scary. Not to mess with me.
Yeah.
7:30, Steve-O. Excuse me.
7:30?
I'm getting choked up. Sorry.
That's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, we just really want you to sweat
really
it out
worried
for the
about
next
that.
Hour.
You.
You guys are making me so mad.
Yeah.
I feel your pain, Tao, because I hate it when people do that.
You're the one conflicting.
I was going to say, you're doing this.
Inflicting pain on me.
7:30, we're going to confront Tao in love.
In love, man.
Publicly.
See if everything's okay.
Love has everything to do with what we're going to talk
about. Probably about something super private.
His wife and Johnny Danger will be with us as well.
Don't you bring Johnny Danger into this.
He has to. He's part of the fam.
Yeah. No, you can bring Beans.
Well, Beans can be there, too.
I feel like Beans is on my side, no matter what.
It's a good thing we have Shock Therapy Live today, too.
I'm not coming to Shock Therapy Live.
Yes, you are.
The last thing I want is Nate's opinion on it.
We may need some expert opinion.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm missing a lot of my buttons. I'm pretty sure Daniel deleted them.
Maybe I deleted them with my mind because I'm a wizard. Don't mess with me.
All right, what else we got going on the show this morning? A guy created an artificial intelligence bot to torture telemarketers.
Oh, beautiful.
And I have the audio.
Okay.
And it's really good.
I love it.
Can't focus.
I love it. I'm going to help us out today because, you know, you have those friends that have annoying habits like confronting you on air but saving it for an hour later. Tao, I'm going to help you. I have five annoying habits that can actually be explained by science so that we can, you know, feel a little better about, you know, their annoying habits.
Yeah. And this morning, I'm going to change my stance on gun control.
Oh, speaking of...
Because I want to have one right now.
Speaking of gun control...
For reasons undisclosed.
Being that the big game is this Sunday, we got sports holiday coming up. I'm going to talk about something that a lot of us do that is actually literally killing people.
What?
Yeah.
Actually, like a lot.
Actually, literally killing people at Super Bowl parties. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, I got the goods today. Am I right?
I'm glad I'm going to your party, man.
Yeah. I'm going to
be safe.
Safety first, man. Safety first.
Depending
That's my
on
motto.
How this goes, we might not go to your party.
Safety first, Ninja Star second. That's my motto.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cast a spell on y'all. I am literally, you guys are going to get sick every day for a month. I hope
don't
you're ready
say that.
For that. No.
My family's been sick for three weeks now.
Oh. I wonder who was behind that. Don't mess with me. You see that blinking light over there? You see that? I'm doing that.
Where?
With my brain.
What blinking light?
It's outside. It's a street light. That's how my powers are.
Yeah. I have some good news on the way of a woman who donated her son's organs.
That sounds horrible. Your good news is the worst.
Yep.
No, it is not. I always have a good spin on it.
Oh,
you can take anything and turn it into good news, just like the Lord. The Lord does it.
Okay, I'm going to give you the last bit of that. Lord does it. Why can't I? Good point.
What? Amazing.
You got to,
I got
man.
You, man. I
you
got you.
To. You got to make it good. I'm missing everything over here. Daniel. He did warn me, though. He said things are going to start disappearing if you don't move it into that one category.
You didn't do it, lazy.
Sure enough.
Gosh.
Gone.
You know what? The good news is he's awake now because we messed up this morning and the alarm called him.
Ha! Really? An alarm
goes off?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. That's how I knew. I get it on my phone, too.
Yes. That's great.
It's the only thing in the world that would give you an alarm for silence.
Yeah.
Everyone else would give you a round of applause, maybe a blanket or some candy. This thing sends out an alarm.
Teo's got some news for you.
I do.
Coming up, we're going to play a game, name the year. 338-3700. We'll get you updated on the roads.
I don't want you guys to confront me about anything.
We're going to confront Teo at 7:30.
Good, man. 7:30.
I don't know how real this is.
Pretty good.
Everything's real on this show, man. Everything is real.
We don't embellish anything.
Good morning, everyone. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We're going to take a break and come right back.
We'll be right back.
It's time for the Morning Invasion.
I love those guys.
On Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Three-time NASCAR champion Tony Stewart is hospitalized with a back injury.
The presidential candidate's on to New Hampshire.
Bill Cosby's in court.
Nominations are out for this year's Junos.
Yahoo just announcing 1,700 layoffs.
The emergency manager for Detroit Public Schools stepped out.
Health officials in Dallas County, Texas, say they're announcing the case of Zika virus.
Paul Ryan meets with President Obama at the White House.
The Obama administration's proposing new investment to battle a growing drug problem.
Much of the new spending would go to boosting treatment for heroin and opioid abusers.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Rome telling the coalition fighting ISIS, or Daesh as it's sometimes known,
"We are hammering Daesh's heavy weapons."
Several inches of snow on Colorado. The same system is bringing blizzard conditions from the plains up to the Great Lakes.
High today of 35 degrees.
Why does everything you have a creepy kid laugh somewhere in the background?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Nah. I just heard a creepy kid laugh somewhere in the background.
Nah. Whoa, that's hot. That's hot. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, as we came in with news right before that, we played a track from Further Seems Forever, Light Up Ahead. Off their Hide Nothing album, still one of the greatest records ever!
Holds up.
Had a chance to bring those guys out for Freedom Fest years back. And sad news coming from that camp. John Bunch, frontman of that version of Further Seems Forever, also frontman of Sinsfield, passed away yesterday at the age of 45 years old.
That's sad.
Dude! He was one of the nicest guys. I called Joey right away yesterday, and we were reminiscing on what a really, really rad individual he was. He was one of the kindest guys. Because Joey and I were both super fans of Sinsfield. And so when he joined Further, we immediately were like, we have to book him now for Freedom Fest. And we got to talk to him about Sinsfield, got to talk to him about that iteration of Further Seems Forever. Details are very sparse. He was only 45 years old. The details surrounding his passing have not been revealed. But the death was confirmed by family, by Rise Records president Craig Erickson. A ton of artists came out of the woodwork yesterday to talk about it. Juliana Theory, their very first tour ever, was opening for Sinsfield. So Brett Dieter, he posted something last night talking about John Bunch and the legacy of that man, Jimmy Eat World. There were so many artists influenced by early 90s Sinsfield. So some bands that you probably love. So if you didn't know Sinsfield, there's a chance you listen to and love a band that they super influenced. So very, very, very sad news.
I don't remember if we interviewed John or if it was somebody else, but I know we interviewed somebody from Sinsfield while back.
It was him. He was
probably
singer.
Was John. I just can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a really, really rad guy. He started a band a couple years back that we played on Static called War Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, man,
apparently the record is pretty good. Everything I was reading yesterday, they were like, that War Generation record was underrated for real.
Yeah. Yeah, we played a few tracks from that.
We did.
We're losing a lot of artists this year.
Dude, 45, though. That hit way too close to home and scared me, you know? Being the ripe young age of 49 myself.
I don't think they know how he died.
They don't.
They just released information that he had been found in his apartment. But there was something There's a music website called AbsolutePunk.net, and they were talking about how recently John had had a heart attack, and they hadn't released that information because they were kind of, you know, trying to keep it quiet or whatever. So there was some speculation that it was another, like, maybe a massive heart attack or something.
Man.
So I don't know.
You look at the list. Haley from Paramore talked about his contribution to her young life in the version of Further Seems Forever. Jimmy, as I mentioned. Tooth and Nail Records, of course. Revelation Records. So many different people coming out. Spartan Records coming out to talk about just Sensfield, Further Seems Forever. And John Bunch was one of the most incredible lyricists and vocalists. And so it's just, man, sad news coming out coming out of that the Bunch camp.
News.
Yeah.
Apple will unveil new iPhone, iPad, and more on March 15th.
Oh, yeah! Come on!
Supposedly.
Making my more and more and more obsolete. This thing already barely runs the internet.
I think these are still the rumored reveals because, you know, nobody really knows what they're going to do until it
happens. It's going to happen.
But supposedly, there is a new little phone. It's called the iPhone 5SE.
Really?
It will replace the iPhone 5. Huh. Which was introduced in 2013, but it's a 4-inch screen.
Yeah.
It's shrinking.
I think that's probably a good idea, because I remember when they started making the iPhones bigger, people were complaining, I don't want a big phone.
I don't want a giant phone.
I like my small phone.
But then how are you going to play all the video games? Isn't that the purpose of the phone?
Right.
I mean, come on, people.
It says the new device will mirror the look of the 5S, but come with a more powerful chip and likely a better camera. Also, iPad Air, dubbed the iPad Air 3, which might include some of the iPad Pro's features. You know, the iPad Pro is like the one that looks like a desk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like about as big as your desk
when you were a kid. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The iPad's been a bit of a sore spot for Apple's business when sales of the tablet fell below 2012 levels this past fall. So they're trying to bump it back up. That's what's coming out of there.
Sorry, droid people. I know you tuned out right now.
Chargers.
It's all good.
Yo, well, I've got a Samsung. And sometimes it works. It's pretty cool.
I just don't like the operating systems on those other droid phones. Sorry, I shouldn't derail this. Let's just move on.
Oh, my gosh.
Just wanted to say that.
And I'm the one that's getting the talking to later.
I know!
7:30.
Is this listening about my yogurt story?
We're not going to tell
maybe
you.
It is.
We're not
yogurt has probiotics in it. It's good for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
Local news, Holly Holmes' trainer's house was burglarized in Albuquerque. According to police, a home belonging to one of Holly Holmes' trainers was burglarized this week.
Winklejohn.
The Albuquerque Journal reports one of Mike Winklejohn's championship belts was taken, along with some climbing gear.
That's the wrong house.
For real.
Yeah. That's a fail right there.
Authorities plan to provide an update on this case Wednesday afternoon, which is today. This afternoon.
Winklejohn he's such a great guy. Him and Greg Jackson, oh my gosh. They are two amazing men, tell you what.
When I was first coming up in my television career, our boy Rashad Evans was fighting Lyoto Machida for the light heavyweight championship. Week of, we were like, guys, we're just this local TV show on the CW. We've got nothing. SportsCenter's hitting up Rashad, and it's like, training. I got to train. It's championship week. I can't talk to anybody. Hung out with us for a full day.
Rashad's
let us train with him. Let us hang out with him. Mm-hmm. Greg Jackson and Winklejohn. They're just super nice dudes. It's when I met Lil Jon for the first time.
Yep. All those guys over there.
Great dudes. Then Rashad got knocked out, and I was like, crap.
Yeah. Well.
Never spoke to me again.
He's like, man, I knew I shouldn't have hung out with those guys.
I knew it. Wasted a whole day of training with some morons. Speaking of morons, Joey Belleville, my co-host of that show, he will be in studio tomorrow.
So excited.
It's going to be fun.
That so excited.
Reunited and embarrassing guys.
That was a backhanded compliment. You called him a moron.
Well, I mean, we act like idiots.
Act.
Yeah. We're actually super, super intelligent guys.
Act. The stat analysis website 538.com claims Peyton Manning had the worst regular season of any Super Bowl quarterback ever.
Wow.
Quite the twist.
Yeah. Forever.
That's right. Forever.
Forever.
Of course, if you watched much of the Broncos this season, that can't come as a total shock. Manning missed 6 games with injury and had another 6 games with no touchdown passes.
Fail.
And he was even benched at one point.
You're awful.
But this just goes to show why it's a team effort. You know what I mean? With any team. We're a team, guys.
I know.
And maybe one of
it
us
does.
Is
It takes
is
a team
slacking.
To plot all that stuff out.
Shut
And you
up.
Got, you know, you need some good writers up in there. It takes a village. Yeah. That's what I've heard him say.
It does.
A guy whose legal name is Bezo Doodoozo Bippity Bop 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 got arrested in Wisconsin for drugs in 2012 and 2013.
Surprise.
Can I read his name again?
Yeah.
Bezo Doodoozo Pippity Bop Bop Bop.
You know what? You did really good with that, Teo, because...
Zo Pity Bop. That's what it is. Bezo Doodoo.
Did you put that
Zo
in there
Pity
on purpose?
Bop Bop.
Just to try and throw him off.
Other reporters out there, they didn't do as good as you, Teo.
Bezo Doodoo Zoppity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zoopity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zippity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zoopity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zoppity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zoppity Bop Bop. Bezo Doodoo Zippity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zopity Bop Bop Bop.
Bezo Doodoo Zoppity Bop.
You nailed that.
You did
Thanks,
a good job.
Man.
Bezal Doodoo Zopity Bop 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 got arrested in Wisconsin for drugs in 2012 and 2013. Now he is in trouble again for biting a cop in Washington State and trying to stab him with a pen. That rhymed.
That's not good.
That was a good rhyme, though.
That was a good
He's
rhyme.
In trouble again for biting a cop in Washington Bezal State and trying to stab
bop,
him with
bop,
a pen.
Bezo Doodoo Zopity Bop Bop Bop.
Yeah.
Hey, Doodoo! That's his nickname.
Bezal Doodoo.
Yeah, Bezal Doodoo. A high school senior in North Dakota recently posed for his yearbook photo with an AR-15.
Oh.
Because if there's one thing that's in your school supplies list, it's an AR-15. Oh. It's right below the number two pencil.
What so, state was
number
this?
Number two pencil, AR-15 tablet.
Did you say Texas?
Mississippi?
North Dakota.
North Dakota.
School
okay.
refused to use that photo, so he edited the gun out with Photoshop. And he photoshopped in a huge bald eagle sitting on his shoulder, which they say they're cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, where's our
Such
eagle?
That's a great picture.
That's a great picture.
Speaking of.
He's looking hard, too. He's like, what's up, freedom? I'm your newest defender.
Amazing.
I am 17 and I have a life plan.
Yesterday.
Got a 5-year plan, and it includes this eagle.
We got an eagle statue yesterday. What happened to it?
It got taken with the Precious Moments Jesus idol.
What?
We put one up here for America. We had a big eagle statue yesterday.
Well, here's the thing. I took a statue from Danica and Kelly Bransford.
Yeah. They work over in the main building.
I took the statue.
You right. took the eagle
His
statue?
His name is Chesterton. Yeah. I renamed it Freedom Eagle and sat it up there next to our Jesus Precious Moments.
Did you tell them that you were taking
thing.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My plan was to buy a can of silver spray paint and spray paint it silver in honor of the Silverhawks cartoon from childhood. And didn't even get a chance to do that, guys, because they
tweeted
already stole
me.
It.
They tweeted me about it.
Oh.
And you know what I did? I said, he's going to miss his friend. But apparently he's not going to miss his friend because his friend went with him. So that's good.
Huh. That's okay.
As long as American Jesus and Freedom Eagle are together,
guys,
we're okay.
A youth pastor on this campus stole Jesus.
He did. If
Just
you
saying.
Can believe it.
I can't trust
if
him.
If you can
Pretty messed up, man.
I can't trust
believe
him.
Believe it. The nominees for this year's Kids' Choice Awards are out. Now, you hear about the Oscars, you hear about the Emmys, you hear about the SAG Awards,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. What about the Kids' Choice Awards?
It's all about the Kids' Choice Awards.
Lots of love for Avengers Age of Ultron, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Adele, The Weeknd, and the Nickelodeon show The Thundermans.
I've never even heard of that.
Me either. The Kids' Choice Awards will air Saturday, March 12th. Blake Shelton is hosting.
Oh, I like that Blake Shelton.
Okay. You like that guy?
I do. Are him and Gwen still together?
Yes, they're having a baby.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Are they really?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever.
Where have you guys
what,
been? That was so last month.
That's I mean, what the tabloids
they're
are saying.
They're soups pregnant, you guys.
Are they really?
Yes!
No
call,
way.
Call Chrissy for confirmation.
Okay. No.
No way. I don't believe it.
She
I
knows.
Didn't hear about this.
Man, how much weight has that Joker lost? Look at that.
He looks pretty skinny.
He's looking real skinny.
Gwen probably got him on a diet.
Guys.
I like that Gwen Stefani.
Are they really pregnant?
Yes!
Pregnant Gwen.
Dude.
You know what, Teo?
It's a Google
I'm
search.
I'm glad you just said what you just said.
What?
You just said, I'm glad they're pregnant.
Hmm.
Why?
For many years, some friends of mine, they would give me a hard time for saying that the man and the woman are both pregnant.
It takes a village, man.
It does. They're both pregnant. Even though one is carrying it, they're both pregnant.
I'm not pregnant.
You know, Gwen Stefani has not.
They are
has
they,
not confirmed. Yeah. Sure. That
yeah.
she's pregnant.
Yeah,
she's
not rumor
pregnant.
Mill.
They were debunked.
You know what? Wingman, listen, no. listen to me.
Gosh, yeah. So having, that's weak, guys.
Having a radio show, you have to be so careful what you say because we have this format where we have authority. We can say whatever we want, you know, and people believe it. You
my
can't
incredible
just say
source,
that.
The Inquisitor, all right, said she was pregnant, mm-hmm. and I believe everything.
You
got to
check
say.
Your facts, man.
Check
you
your know? Facts, man.
Carfax.
Check your facts.
That's how rumors get started.
Here's a terrifying thing. The Zika virus has been sexually transmitted in Texas.
Oh, okay. No.
CDC and...
I'm out.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday, it's the first known case of the virus being locally acquired in the continental United States in the current outbreak. Here's the thing with Zika virus. It can give, like if you're a pregnant lady, it can give your baby in the womb this virus that starts with an M, and I can't remember.
Dude, Gwen Stefani better stay away from Texas.
Okay, she's not pregnant. Oh, yeah, microcephaly. And it actually, like, it's a
shrunken head
deformation, yeah.
Really sad.
It's really sad.
Does it affect men, or is it only women?
Pretty sure it's just women because of the fall, but I'll have to double check that.
That was Tail?
Yeah.
Studio at Star 88.fm.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, hey, we just cleared it up. If a woman is pregnant, two people are pregnant because the guy's in there too. So I'm sure that it would, you know.
Mess him up too?
If not physically mess him up, then definitely psychologically.
Well, yeah, because his wife is.
And it is a debilitating disease and you know, I made a joke about it, but this is kind of scary.
This is a really,
this
really
is, this
bad
has been
thing.
An yeah. epidemic in the Southern Hemisphere, yeah. like South America, Central America. So much so that
Antarctica.
Like Brazil issued a ban on getting pregnant.
Yeah.
They said don't get pregnant.
Any
right
planned
now.
Pregnancies, you might want to put that off for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, the CDC is reporting that. And it's scary that it's sexually transmitted. I guess the case, which was announced by Dallas County health officials, involved a patient who had sex with someone who had recently returned from Venezuela, infected with the virus, and now they have it.
So not only can you get bit by a mosquito, but you can get it through...
Right. So say your wife or whatever went down on a vacation with her friends to Venezuela or Brazil or some south. Say your wife sings in a band who's very popular in Brazil.
No. Oh, she yeah? She went out on a tour anytime
yeah.
soon?
No. Not anytime soon. Probably November, though.
Venezuela?
But anyway, yeah, or Brazil. So they go down there, mm-hmm. bit by a mosquito. Commonplace thing. It happens. We're close to the equator.
Just have Don wear a hazmat suit the entire tour.
The entire, yes.
That sounds good.
Yes.
I feel like that would be good for her image.
Yo, the whole band in
a fashionable hazmat suit.
Yeah, half black and half yellow.
It's really cool because, like, you can...
They can tour with Striper.
It reflects at night, so if I'd like yeah. to go for a swift bike ride...
And then they could throw out hazmat suits to the crowd.
Yeah.
They could launch them out to the crowd.
With the Firefly logo on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again.
The epidemic tour.
This is just a part of the age-old question. Why did God invent mosquitoes?
Right.
What was the end game there?
Mm.
We'll never know.
Total annihilation.
The CDC says it will provide more guidance as more information on sexual transmission is learned, but in the meantime, sexual partners can protect each other, blah, 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 blah. You should not be running around having sex, especially if somebody went down to South America. Now
lesson
back.
Learned. Don't sleep with Venezuelans.
Okay.
Studio at star88.fm. That's studio
this
at star88.fm.
It is
it's
really
terrifying.
Scary.
It's kind of like, you remember when Ebola happened, mm-hmm. and everybody was kind of like, yeah, it's Ebola, and then it was like, oh my gosh.
Right.
Man, that's a sad thing. Got these videos of the little babies that are affected.
Why? Why are you even looking at that?
Because it's real life, man.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
The way it is.
More news coming up. Okay. 7:30. We're going to confront a good friend here on the show.
Yeah. It's me, everyone, that they're dangling this out.
It's all right, man.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me on this show.
Probably.
We're going to confront you about this, but wait an hour and a half.
Coming up at 7:30.
Now we've got about 40 minutes, and I'm real nervous.
You should be nervous.
It's making me have to use the restroom.
You guys want to play a game?
No.
Yeah.
You guys want to do this?
Absolutely. No.
Come on, Dale.
Okay, fine. I can't, but it's because I can't get out of it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not a willingness.
Welcome to the show.
Need to find my bed here. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
That's not it.
Hold That's on. 8-bit.
This is, That's 8-bit. This is the one I wanted. This is the one I wanted. All right, here we go. Yeah. You know what this theme song is from?
No.
Wait. Isn't it from a TV show?
I'll tell you what it's not. It's not Pole Position.
It's, 10 in the Family.
No. Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
All right, here we go. I guess we'll just play with you two.
Okay.
Do we have things to give away?
I mean, we still have a pair of tickets to give away for House of Heroes.
We do?
We might have to save that for next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got a Holy Land Moments Bible. We got some Skillet CDs.
Nice.
We got stuff. We got Prize Closet. We call it the Prize Bin.
All right. 338-3700.
Or the clearance bin.
If you'd like to play along with these two.
We should call it the clearance rack.
Yeah. We'll just kick off the first round now.
Okay.
And we'll get somebody on the phone to play the next round, all right?
Here's
how Name the Year works. I'm going to tell you what happened back on this day in history, and you guys have to name the year.
Neato.
Okay.
It's pretty easy.
Now, if you make it like pre 83, only Steve-O is going to know about it, because he was born in 67.
Okay.
So we're going to kick it off with one of my favorite bands. Richie Valens. Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
And the Big Bopper.
Is this one the music
Buddy Holly died? From my hometown Lubbock, Texas.
Yep. These three died in a plane crash in Mason City, Iowa. This was the day the music died. What year was it?
It was on this day?
It was on this day.
Wow.
In what year?
My Pegasus.
Okay. 1963.
Trying to think of the song, the Don McLean American Pie song.
You could ask him, but I think he's in jail for domestic violence.
No, but I mean, like, does he say in the song? I'm going to say 1967.
I said 63.
The year was 1959.
Ah, 59.
Love you, Peggy Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Turn that radio down.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, there you are.
All right, you got to play along with Steve-O and Teo.
Okay.
Who's ever closest will win, okay?
Hmm.
Pretty
all right.
easy. Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite TV shows. I bet you guys watched it. Remember the Munsters?
Yeah. Of course!
Yeah.
On this day.
Is that Fall Out Boy song?
That's funny!
Al Lewis, who played Grandpa Munster on the Munsters, died at the age of 82. Name the year.
Wasn't that kind of recently? Like within the last decade?
Do
you want to go first or you want to wait, buddy?
I'll wait.
Okay.
Yeah, you will. That's the smart man's play.
I'm going to say 2009.
I'm going to say 2012 Super Bowl.
What do you think, buddy?
Say 2002.
The year was 2006.
Ah!
You two are over. You win, buddy.
Oh!
You can get this plastic trash can.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Hold on the phone, man.
Okay, we'll do.
What a nice contestant.
Dude, we got some used highlighters that he could get.
I want to give him that Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat.
Yeah.
We got a. It's not worth anything.
Mug from Glorietta.
It's shiny.
Listen to a story about a man named Jed.
Let's do one around here.
He kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at the food. From the ground come a bubbling crude.
Name the year. Nancy Colt. The. Beautiful Mrs. Hathaway on the Beverly Hillbillies died of cancer at the age of 69.
Gosh, these are all awful.
1997.
1993.
The year was 1991.
Ah!
That's the year I went to Disney World.
Really?
First time. It was either 90 or 91. What is that scratchy noise?
It's just so old. Audio's so old.
It's definitely from when it was in black and white.
Yeah.
You can hear it. Listen.
The transfer to digital just isn't there anymore.
All right. There you go. We'll play more games coming up later in the show.
Hooray!
7:30. Don't forget, we have an intervention.
Hey, and also, you know, since we're talking about viruses and crazy, scary stuff, I'm going to help you not die at your Super Bowl party.
I love it.
I love that I'm going to your Super Bowl party.
Yes, you are. I am safety first, man.
I'm not.
Ninja Star second. That's always been my motto since 20 minutes ago.
All right, it's the Morning Invasion. Hang out with us.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Today is
Wednesday.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
Sir, it's time to ride.
It's inspiring because for us as listeners, man, we know that y'all are people and y'all are real. And that comes across to us as love, you know.
Let's go! And a one and a two.
I don't believe I ordered a wake-up call.
It's a nice morning, ain't it, boss?
Everybody's entitled to their own opinions.
Oh, that's so wimpy. Come on, give it all you got. Go!
Give it up for the goats.
Is it me, or is this show getting weirder this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
You never can tell what you're going to run into in the morning.
Showtime.
I can totally be in your band, New York.
Another
vocal in there?
Totally, man. That was good.
Thanks, man.
That was really good. Just, you know, keep pursuing it. Just keep practicing and working at it. And,
thanks, man.
You know, maybe we can chat.
Thanks. Chat.
We can work it out.
I've always wanted to be in a band.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It is 7:07. Good morning.
High today of 35 degrees. Yes, just 35. It is so cold outside.
Going to warm up tomorrow, though?
Alleged. It'll hit 40. I doubt it. That little groundhog guy is a liar.
Spring is coming early, everybody.
It feels like 23 right now. The low? 9 degrees today, everyone.
9 degrees?
9. The low.
Solid.
Ugh.
Yeah.
338-3700. If you'd like to call into the show, let's check on some traffic.
Here's your traffic update.
What's that sensation? Well, to ease your traffic frustration, we've got a one-stop shop traffic destination. It's called the Morning Invasion. There's an accident. Both lanes are blocked. I-40 East at Rio Puerco, Route 66. Looks like somebody had a long night. Should have left earlier, friend.
Should have left earlier.
Also, there is an accident. Left lane's blocked. Unser Boulevard South at I-40. There's a lot of water main action going on around the city. How are people getting water if all these water mains are broken?
That's a good question.
What's happening? That's your look at traffic.
Brought to you by Solomon's Porch right here, Calvert Campus. You guys cruise on in.
Maybe pick up our breakfast burritos for us. They're waiting, but I can't get them for like 20 minutes. You can bring them to the studio.
Yeah, we can't eat them anyways. I mean, you guys do anyways. It's so unprofessional.
My wife has talked to me about it multiple times, actually, because she says that my processor on my mic is so good, she can hear me smacking. Which, by the way, got some annoying habits coming up, and they will be explained by science. Because if there's one thing we... How did they have 35 degrees?
I'm sorry.
How did they have
35 degrees? No.
It's fun for me to hear you guys just step all over each other.
I did. I stepped
especially
right on
a day today, like today, because I'm getting confronted with something.
T-minus 21 minutes, my friends.
Making me nervous, and you guys are making me mad.
At 7:30, we will be joined by Mateo's lovely wife, Dawn.
Don't call her lovely.
And little Johnny Danger. And Beans will be there as well.
Johnny Danger can't talk on the phone. He can go, ah!
You know...
Hey, Johnny Danger wrote you a letter.
No, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He can't write.
He colored you a picture.
Dexter has been here for,
70 years.
Almost a month now, and it just... There's been some warning signs. I feel like I failed as a friend because... I didn't notice them early on.
Well, you know what? Let's just add a little more failure on top of that and confront me publicly.
Yeah. All our fears.
Failures of friendships.
All our
we're
fears.
We're doing this because we love you.
Yeah.
And we're fighting like crazy to
7:30, guys. Save you. You do not want to miss this.
Is this the intervention music?
No. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Speaking of interventions.
This is the intervention music. That's the theme song.
Are we talking
of the TV
Super Bowl
show.
Stuff? What are we talking?
I was going to do some good news, and then you can talk
good
Super
news.
Bowl.
Yes. Do good news.
Wait, is this actual good news? Yeah, or is this good news? Like,
we
hey,
need
Matt, we're going to confront you with this horrible thing.
Because it's so funny.
Thanks, man.
This is great news.
What was that?
This is not just good news. This is great news.
Okay.
Who likes good news?
Good news, everyone.
Just,
good news,
just because
everyone.
You play
good
this news. Doesn't guarantee
lots.
It's going to be
that's
quite
better
true.
Be good, news.
Good news, everyone.
The good news is, start reading.
25-year-old woman in California named Heather Clark.
Oh, Heather.
Lost her 7-month-old son, Lucas.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in 2013.
You are the worst at good news ever.
The babysitter's boyfriend caused it when the baby wouldn't stop crying.
Okay.
He's still awaiting trial.
Yeah. Okay.
I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, how's this good news? Well, I'm going to tell you. Even though she was dealing with a tragedy like that, she still made the decision to donate his organs. And it ended up saving the lives of 3 other kids.
Oh, wow.
One of them was a little girl named Jordan Drake, who had a congenital heart defect.
Congenital.
Thank you. And needed a transplant.
Congenial.
She's 4 years old now and doing great. And last Friday, Heather got to meet her for the first time at a hospital in Phoenix.
There's another family out there somewhere who's, you know, feeling something like what I'm feeling somewhat. And I have the chance to make them not go through what I'm about to go through. The only thing I could think of is, I can't save my own son. Why not save somebody else's? Why not save somebody else's child?
It's hard to describe that she would be so selfless to be able to think of another family while she's going through her grief. We're family now. We're friends now. Our families. We've brought our families together.
There's a video of it going around on Facebook because she used a stethoscope to listen to Lucas's heart beating in Jordan's chest. And the whole thing was pretty emotional.
You think?
Can you imagine? You lose your 7-month-old son, donate his organs to some other kids, and then they end up putting those organs in other kids. And then she gets to hear Lucas's heart beating again in this other kid's chest. Mm. That was my son's heart. Now you get to live.
I still am on the fence about this.
What?
Standard good
news. This is the greatest news we've ever done.
Oh, gosh.
This
you are
strange.
The worst.
Heather started crying and said she couldn't believe how strong the heartbeat was.
Hey.
That's great.
Almost former friend Steve-O, why don't we intervene on this guy?
What are you talking about? This is great news. Her kid died, which was tragic. Awful. Horrific.
I feel like this is...
And she saved other kids' lives because of her son.
Do you think this is what it's like when you're like, guys, the gospel is good news.
Right.
Step one, you're going to hell.
Right.
Do you feel like that's why people are kind of like, no. Doesn't sound like good news to me.
That is great news.
Threw me off a bit.
Ain't that good news?
That's great news.
That's what I got for y'all today.
It's good news for the little girl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, you do your Super Bowl stuff.
Gosh,
I know
well,
I'm inspired because I'm donating my organs now.
What do you mean now? You didn't before?
No,
I got the little heart on
now.
my driver's license.
I don't understand what's happening.
I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor as well.
Yeah, come on, guys. Come on.
All right, Super Bowl, let's talk about this because you got a big party coming up this Sunday. I'm really excited about
You can't say big party because it's not a big party. It's literally the people in this room.
It's a private party?
It is literally us. It is the morning show Super Bowl party for the morning show only. That's
and
it.
And I'm probably not going to come now.
You what? Have so, to.
I don't know what's going to happen.
You
in
know,
a few
you
minutes.
Still have
oh, come
to.
On.
Oh, come on.
Interventions happen when people love you and want better for you.
Interventions happen privately between a couple of friends.
Yep.
They don't happen publicly over the airwaves, and you call the wife and the baby and be like, hey, get in on this, everybody. We're all going to confront them and laugh about it and then hug it out.
I would like to point out that Dex is the host of this show, and
no.
I'm just
no,
going
no,
along
scapegoat.
For the ride. I moved over. I transitioned roles. It's been a tough time for me. Nobody's thinking about my tough time. Mm. I hosted this shindig for like a decade, okay?
Yeah, and you know what?
You know, I had to move over.
Yeah.
Let the captain take over, you know? I'm cool being number one, you know? I got no hard feelings against this moron over here. I'm just happy that he's doing it. Huh? What? Okay.
Oh, man. That's not cool.
Sorry.
Seriously?
Sorry.
That is not cool.
I know. I know.
Tell them, Cartman.
Okay. Gosh.
Welcome to Star 88. You've never been on 88.3, but we're happy you're here.
All right. Are you guys ready for some advice, some help? Because we do have the big game coming up this Sunday. Super Bowl 50. The biggest Super Bowl in the history of this year's Super Bowl.
When the Panthers beat the Broncos.
Not happening. Broncos defense for the win. Broncos defense for the win. You got to contain Cam Newton. If you do, victory will be yours, Denver.
I wish you would have made that rhyme like a professional.
Sorry. Speaking of professionals, it takes a lot to host a Super Bowl party. I would know. I've done it this year.
Yep. You had one a few years ago when Waverly hung out.
That's very true. We had a blast.
That was cool.
What you guys did? Did you guys play games?
We watched the Super Bowl.
We watched the Super Bowl. We had lots of food and there were no kids. It was magical!
You mean to tell me there's not going to be any games at the party?
I thought the kids were there.
Well, our kids.
Right.
Nobody else had kids. It was lovely. It was lovely being the only friend that had kids because it was like, it's just our kids.
Ryan Allen Kuhn was there.
That's true. He kind of counted as a kid.
Yes.
Listen, guys, there's an epidemic going around this great nation, and it is causing death. You might think it is a victimless crime, but no, my friend.
Mm.
This is actually real science and serious.
Yeah, man.
What are you doing?
I'm...
What? Did you just double-dip that chip?
That's exactly...
You double-dipped the chip!
Here's the thing, guys.
What are you talking about?
We work at a church, so when we say real science, there's always this like, well, yeah, but he said science. So, maybe not.
Double-dipping is an epidemic! You grab a tasty potato chip, you throw it in that yummy, yummy dip that you're rocking, and then you're like, that was so good, I need seconds. Mm. You take the same chip, and you scoop again.
Ugh. I hate that.
The worst of the worst of the worst.
If I see somebody double dipping, I won't go back.
Here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. You might think, oh, wait. I bit this side. I'm going to flip the chip, all right? Flip chip. If you're a chip flipper... Listen, brah, you still have germs on your fingertips, so when you flip the chip, you're scooping with the side that you were holding it with, and here's where people die. I'm serious. Lots and lots and lots of death. At least if you're over the age of 65. Study at Tulane University in New Orleans. They analyzed flu data from the past 35 years and found an interesting connection to the Super Bowl. Week of Super Bowl, if your city's team is in the Super Bowl, the death rate from the flu jumps tremendously.
Yeah, if you're over 65.
Hey, shut up. People over 65 in said city are 18%, such a jump, more likely to die. And that's no coincidence.
Okay. Double dipping's fine.
You go to the parties. You're hanging out, there's germs, there's people you don't know, people are double dipping, they're coughing, they're like shouting and just hugging each other, spits flying everywhere, and you're going to die.
Yeah, if you're over 65.
And you live in Denver or Carolina.
So if you have family that's over 65 and they're going to be attending your Super Bowl party, let's be aware.
Yeah.
Double dipping is not okay.
All right.
Wear rubber gloves.
Whoa.
And a Michael Jackson face mask.
Okay. How are you going to eat the chip if you're rocking a face mask?
Well, you're going to, I don't know.
Yeah, no exactly. Idea. But here's the thing. Double dipping may not be real. It may not actually kill people. I mean, this is science from Tulane University where they have like Mardi Gras. So how scientific can it actually
be? Well, let's hear from a real scientist.
Oh, okay.
It's people that are staying at home and hosting small local gatherings.
I'm pretty sure you just said that. But he said it, and he's a scientist.
Yeah, but okay. Don't double dip. It is one of the most annoying things on the planet. If I see somebody going
I'm
going to
double dip every
salsa,
single, everything that I find. I'm going to double dip it.
Gosh.
I'm going to dip it in the chip bowl. I'm going to let Rocket the dog lick it, and then I'm going to dip it right back in. Because I, number one, can't have chips or the
that's
dip.
That's true.
Number
that's
two,
true.
You guys are making me so mad.
I'm sorry. We shouldn't have
yesterday,
that's a bad idea.
I got called out for tying in an actual story into an actual thing we were talking about when we were talking about breakfast cereal.
Yep.
And I went into a story about how I can't have it right now.
Yep.
And then I got called out for a dumb yogurt story.
That's
we're going to sit here and talk for 20 minutes about double dipping and death.
Hey, you know what?
Chicken butt. I know what.
You can choose to be angry at science. You can choose to pretend
choose
like
to
science
be angry
isn't real.
At you two dummies. Thank you, Donkey
Or
laugh.
You can
this
take a look at the facts.
That we tease
you can,
this so
you can
much.
Take a look at the facts and realize, oh, wait, science is real.
Yeah, facts.
God actually created. This is like the method to his madness,
now
how he created things.
Now we're bringing God into the double dipping conversation.
I'm just saying, science, it's
bring
real.
Bring it on in.
What would Jesus do? Would he double dip?
No, of course he wouldn't double dip. Are
what
you
if he
kidding
double dipped
me?
And it healed somebody? What if he spit in the mud and wiped it on their eyes and then they weren't blind anymore?
Good morning. Save us.
Oh, my gosh, guys. So this is James. I'm running late, but I'm still on the
white knuckle commute.
Yep.
Devo, I didn't know you were so old, man.
Yeah, 65. Praise be. He's
65.
Old.
65 now,
yeah,
huh?
Over 65.
66 this
Back
year.
Back in my day, we didn't have dip.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, yeah. you guys at Steve-O's Super Bowl party, you need to be safe. Make sure you're not double dipping.
Yeah.
In respect to Steve-O's great age.
I'm telling you guys, no double dipping at my party. It's awful. And it's biblical.
James.
It goes all the way back to the Last Supper when Peter went to go for that last chip and Jesus looked at him and said, Nacho, Jesus!
Yeah, because when Jesus would say, the one who will betray me is the one that's going to
double
dip. The
one that
double
dipped
cup.
The chip, man.
That's right.
Man, it was the Judas kiss. It was the Judas kiss, the germs. It just did it in, man. The am I fired yet?
We call it
studio
sack. It's
at
short
Star
for sacrilegious.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Waverly, we called it sack. We'd be like, this pretty sack, bro.
Oh, man. Yeah, studio at star88.fm.
Taking it back to the organ donation discussion.
What?
Just lighthearted this morning.
Was that good news? That was good news.
Yes. Dude, thank you for sharing that. I think that was good news.
Thank you.
I think it's a good example of how the Lord can take a bad situation and turn it around for his glory.
That's it, man. That is it.
James, please don't encourage all this stuff.
James, you're a smart man.
That's what I got for
y'all today.
You guys have a good one.
See you, buddy.
Oh, oh.
I was worried that James wasn't going to save us, but he did. He saved that break.
Rand Paul is dropping out of the presidential race.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
That's what they all do.
Yeah. Only 23 more to go on the Republican side before we're narrowed down to 5.
Guys, we're getting really close to this segment. I'm getting really
I think we should cancel the segment.
I'm with him. Let's cancel it.
Hey,
I feel like we can talk about better. There's a
I'm kind of worried about this.
There's a chip story we could go to.
Okay.
It's riveting.
If you're just tuning in.
Is it starting now?
No.
If you're just tuning in,
we
got to
keep people waiting longer.
We got to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to sit down with our friend Teo over here.
Teo.
We're going to get his wife, Dawn, his son, Jay Danger, and Cat Beans the Cat on
What
on
about
the phone.
Panda?
Panda
can't
didn't
even
want to
get
be
her.
Involved.
No, Panda could not be reached for comment.
She's like Steve Avery's
She was under
brother.
The bed.
Yeah, she was under the bed.
Yeah.
So we're going to confront Teo on something.
Teo.
And it really, his wife is the one who wanted this to happen today.
Yeah. So if anything, you got to talk to Dawn about this because
she's really worried.
We approached her with the evidence. It's compelling. And she said, guys, I need your help in this. You're his friends. You see him every day.
In case anybody's wondering, a good way to kick off your day is when your friends say they've been talking to your wife behind your back about something you've been doing in secret.
Well, coming up next.
In case anybody's wondering.
And the struggle is real!
With Mateo. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Your attention, please. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
three-time NASCAR champion Tony Stewart is hospitalized with a back injury.
The presidential candidates on to New Hampshire.
Bill Cosby's in court.
Nominations are out for this year's Junos.
Yahoo just announcing 1,700 layoffs.
The emergency manager for Detroit Public Schools stepped out.
Health officials in Dallas County, Texas, say they're announcing the case of Zika virus.
Paul Ryan meets with President Obama at the White House.
The Obama administration's proposing new investment to battle a growing drug problem.
Much of the new spending would go to boosting treatment for heroin and opioid abusers.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Rome telling the coalition fighting ISIS, or Daesh as it's sometimes known.
We are hammering Daesh's heavy weapons.
Several inches of snow on Colorado. The same system is bringing blizzard conditions from the plains up to the Great Lakes.
Good morning, everybody. Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Teo.
We're the Morning Invasion. It's 7:34.
High today of 35 degrees.
Could be the last time you say the three of our names.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how we work at a church, and it's like, oh, they're confronting them about something. Go ahead and get the pink slip.
Isn't this usually the way it's done here?
Break out the manila envelope.
No, it is not.
No?
And you know what? You don't even know what it is that we're confronting you about.
Listen, yeah. Man, I wouldn't call it a confrontation so much as it is a love movement, all right? We love you.
Thanks, Coney 2012.
We do love you.
We love you so much, Teo.
We're fighting like crazy to keep you around because we love you.
We noticed something, you know, and it started off, you know, I thought I was going crazy, you know, because I've known you for so many years, and I'm
right.
Like, but I think sometimes when you just know someone so well, sometimes you can tend to, like, brush stuff off that may be more serious than you thought, and it wasn't until Dex got here that he started noticing something and approached me on it, and I thought, I mean, that's not unhealthy. And then I started examining some things.
You guys are making me so mad.
Unfortunately, we're privy to some new information, man.
Privy.
Dexter and I, we both, you know, we've worked in radio many years, and so we've made friends in the industry, and one of those friends happens to be a producer for a pretty popular show.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Which we'll get to in just a second, but
exactly.
let's bring in the rest of the family. Let's have them come in and sit down on the couch, because there is not only us that love you, but
your wife, your son,
Beans,
Panda.
I know Beans does.
Welcoming Don and Jay Danger and Beans to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Don.
Hey, Don. Thank you for participating in this.
Hey, Don, we know this is hard for
baby.
You, but, you know, thanks for being here.
Did Beans bring his letter?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think that Beans might be dealing with something because I've barely seen him this morning.
Well, he probably misses me a lot because when I leave, he misses me.
This is true. Yesterday, you guys came over for dinner, and this was kind of the nail in the coffin. We were hanging out at dinner, and Don, you were talking about the fact that Teo, he works out, you know, all the time.
Teo.
Rocking that CrossFit, and got home yesterday, and, you know, like any normal human being, when you work out, you want to take a shower afterwards. But you were telling me that there was an individual in your home that just was desperate to get into that bathroom while Matt was in the shower. Could you?
Yeah, that's true. I was just taking care of the baby, you know, because that's what I do. And
she's a new mom.
Suddenly I'm hearing all this meow, 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 and then I hear... You're Matt calling from the shower, Don, I think that one of the cats is trapped in the bathroom. I'm like, uh-oh, you know. Because we try to close the doors because Johnny is always trying to get in.
Right,
know,
yeah,
the bathroom.
No.
So, anyway, so I approach the bathroom, and is there a cat locked in the bathroom? No. Beans is waiting on the other side of the door.
Wow.
Crying frantically.
Like a loyal friend.
Huh. And he's behind the closed door, and he's stuck on the outside.
So Beans just can't seem to, like, be away from Teo for longer than 4 seconds.
Yeah. And it seems like Beans has been, I mean, Matt says that Beans needs all this attention and it's what makes him happy, but he's been lashing out, I feel like, more and more often. I mean, I get home from this last trip and Beans has eaten our computer cord. So you tell me, is that a happy cat?
That's true.
Oh, man.
He was upset because I was at work.
Plus everything you've been telling me, I just feel like there may be a balance issue.
Yeah.
Let me,
you guys are being stupid.
Let me add something real quick to all the people out there that, you know, that are new to the show that don't know your guys' situation.
Right.
Because it's not a... I don't want to say
typical.
Typical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a typical
situation. What do you mean it's
situation,
not typical?
You know, your wife has gone on the road a lot. She's in a band.
It's not a very lot. Successful Christian rock band called Firefly.
Mm-hmm. And
front woman.
She's the front lady. She got to do what she got to do.
And yeah.
Man, you are a supportive, loving husband.
Yeah.
And gosh, we
love
that.
She's touring the world. You.
You
know, you're usually spending time at home. Now, one thing that I think is incredible is Dawn will take Johnny with her on the road to help you out, mm-hmm. Tao, because you have a job here.
Well,
so
that's because I got to take care of
Panda
and Beans.
And yeah. And so you spend a lot of time at home with Beans the cat.
What is this?
This is an intervention, my friend.
We love you. And so we called Dawn and told her, you know, our thoughts and our feelings, and then new information came to light. And we thought, man, maybe this is more serious, and we thought we should tell Dawn about it. And when presented with it, we thought this was the right course of action. Am I right, Dawn? And can I say that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, like just yesterday, you know, when I'm out on the road, people are like, oh, can we take some pictures of Johnny? And I get home around Albuquerque, you know, where people listen to your show, and they're like, do you have any pictures of Beans? You know, like they don't, it's like they don't even know Johnny exists because.
Wow.
Everybody knows Johnny exists.
Yeah, just yesterday I was showing some of my pictures of Beans. So.
Wow.
Everybody knows.
That, I don't know. I don't feel good, you know? I don't like feeling this way. There's just something's not right.
No, I understand.
Well, like all intervention shows, before it can get better, we have to make it much, much, much worse by presenting all of the information.
You
sweet.
Okay,
just dragging
it sounds
it
good
out.
To me. Yes. Sounds like a plan.
Yes. So that being said, Dex and I have a good friend that works in a national radio program.
Mm-hmm.
Tao, you've mentioned this program a few times before. We thought you were being funny and kind of joking. But unfortunately... Yeah. You want to go ahead and play that?
You love Delilah.
You
do love Delilah. I don't.
Do you know where we're
I'm a little
this?
Upset,
you know,
that nobody told me that you guys had a friend that worked for Delilah.
Do you know what we're talking about now, Tao? Do you feel like, you know, you want to open up, or do
I
we
can
really...
confirm or neither confirm or deny what is about to happen.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well,
thanks for your calls tonight, Avon.
Yeah.
We're playing.
She is a very popular radio hostess
she just said
with the
Avon.
Mostest. All right. Really sweet. Loves you some Delilah.
You can't even play that on the air because she said Avon.
Our friend Brad is a producer for the Delilah show and sent us
is
some
is it Chad
audio.
Brad Bryan?
Maybe. And
we can't say.
Oh, my
gosh. We can't
tell
you.
We feel like your relationship with Beans is a little unhealthy. Case in point, evidence A.
Good thing the quality's so good on this recording.
Hi, thank you for calling the Delilah Show. I understand you've got some exciting things you're looking forward to in the future.
Number one, I'm so excited that you answered my call again. I know I call a lot, but really excited because
that's not even
my cat
what?
Beans. We got him a new cat tower, and
could be tons of cats.
I don't know if Panda's gonna like it, but I just what? Have a great. I have a big
maybe they
Beans
work at a zoo.
Gonna love
Beans
it.
And Panda. Huh.
And it's real. You know, it's hard when you have two cats because you're always trying to just pick. You know, you don't want to pick one over the other, but you got an obvious favorite. You can't just live life like there's no such thing as favorites. I got a buddy named Steve-O, and he says that he loves all his kids equally, but he likes Brody the best. And we all know him.
Brody?
Nobody gives him any crap
random guy
anything,
who has
but
a cat
I'm
named
really
Beans
excited about this
Steve-O?
New cat tower for Beans.
Something that's inspiring, something that'll give you courage to face tomorrow and all the challenges that lie ahead, but you're so excited.
Yeah, it's not inspiring for me necessarily, but I just really feel like Beans is going to see this thing, and he's going to be inspired. To just climb higher than he's ever climbed before. And when we're talking challenges, I don't know if you know, but cats have more challenges than any other domesticated animal in this world. I know you know what I'm talking about, girl. Like, we call them fur babies on the street, and it's because they have the emotions and the dreams of people. And that's what I'm so excited about. I feel like Beans is going to see this cat tower, and he's going to know, hey, any any height that I have to face, I can, because I got four paws and some willpower, and I got this. So it's real good. Just real. Also, you know, kind of going through some personal stuff. Heard from some more debt collectors this week, but
oh no,
what?
You know, it's just that's life. When you're a person, when you're a cat, you don't worry about
that.
So I'm happy for Beans, and I guess Panda too. She's there.
I'll be there for you.
You're always there for me, Delilah. I love you so much. I'll call you back.
You're listening to Delilah.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
So that's the first
evidence.
One,
A man. That's anything you want to say about that? Mm-hmm. That time?
I just don't feel like it's definitive proof that it was me.
Really?
What are you talking about?
See, Beans, Panda.
A friend named Steve-O with a kid named Brody. Yeah. That's. I just seems like, man, there's...
Don, what's the world's population?
I'm not sure.
Almost 8 billion? 7 billion?
It's 7 billion people.
Okay.
So there's no reason there couldn't be a few other people that have a friend named Steve-O.
Wow.
That has a kid named
that
Brody.
That love Delilah.
That have... cat named Beans, and then another animal never identified as a cat named Panda.
Man, I wish it weren't. I wish it weren't like this, but unfortunately, we have more than one clip because as it sounded like you said at the beginning of that last call, you apologized for calling so much. It seems like
it is interesting that this person. That unconfirmed if it's me or not.
Yeah.
Has a friend named Steve-O that clearly has a favorite child, which favoritism amongst families is not encouraged biblically.
Wow. I feel like that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Maybe we need to intervene on our other friend's behalf.
Okay. See, this is what happens.
Life.
One, it's denial, and then you're trying to blame
it's Delilah.
We knew this
you're
was
it's not denial.
Yeah.
That's a different show.
We hate to do this, Teo. Do you want to play it?
Yeah.
Okay. Darn.
Evidence B.
Maybe you should just hang up. Maybe hang up and go about your day.
To make your night special.
I know that.
Well, Delilah, it's me, Teo, again, just calling again tonight. And wanted to thank you just for having this wonderful show. I'm going through a bit of a rough patch myself. My wife's out of town a lot. But really just focusing in on the issue, which is my cat, Beans. He, you know, like he needs affection a lot, but then sometimes he doesn't.
Hard evidence.
I need affection a lot, too.
Could be
so
anybody.
You know, my wife's out of town, and then the other cat, Panda.
Other cat, Panda.
She doesn't care about people or me. But Beans, he's like just trying to get me to pet him all the time. And then a few weeks back, I bought him this cat tower.
Wow.
And I felt like it was a good investment, but now he just kind of scratches on it. And then one time he peed on it, and I know he was marking his territory, but... Maybe I need affection sometimes. You go to work
station,
and then you work with these people, and they put all these expectations on you. They're like, you got to witness to everybody every second of the day. You're
so
going to kill somebody.
Works at a church?
And I don't know what that
possibly.
Means. And then I come home and I'm like, Beans, it's been a hard day, and I realize you're not a person, but I really need you to understand right now. And then all he wants is his food. And it's not even the dry food. He wants the wet food.
I know that Beans eats wet food.
Stuff.
I take care of that
the
cat.
Spendy canned food with the lumps. He doesn't want it minced. He wants like the lumped bits of chicken or fish. And I don't know. I could use a song tonight, Delilah. Could use a song.
Because if you're going through an ugly divorce, you know as well as I know that it's far better to be alone than to be in a relationship where you're lonely.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that's in the Bible necessarily. So I could get in trouble at work if I agree with you. You know what? Maybe you're right, Delilah. Maybe it's more of a heart problem. Maybe it's because I am lonely, and it's better to be alone forever with your cat than to be lonely. I think that's what you said.
I'll take singledom and being alone any day over being in an unhealthy relationship with somebody who's not loving and not compassionate and not gentle.
No, I mean she's my wife's cool. She's just out of town a lot. That's not a big deal. We're fine. I'm used to that.
All right, you have a great night. Let me find a song of hope for you.
Could you make it Be Faithfully by Journey and dedicate it to Beans?
Mm.
Huh. Wow. Wow.
So what's that all about?
I don't know if she even played that song.
Oh, she did.
Man, sure sounds like some journey.
Because I don't know
background.
If this was me.
Now, we know that marriage is
Pause.
A journey.
Dawn, don't you have better things you can be doing right now? What's Johnny doing?
Listen, Johnny, he's doing fine right now, you know, but what I'm worried about is the long-term repercussions of what's happening here. I mean, and you're saying this isn't you on the radio. Okay, that's fine. Let's just say that that's not you. So, but let's just talk about that. Like, this person who it is on the radio, do you think that, what do you think is right, you know, as far as his situation? Does this sound like something that's healthy or... Do you think that, you know, maybe, you know, what do you think? What do you think about it?
Sounds
like something needs to change in this person's life?
It sounds like this person has been entrusted with a lot of responsibility. And they're accomplishing that responsibility. They're doing a good job and they're dealing with the stresses of it in a positive and healthy way.
Wow. So you're still denying that person on the phone is you, my friend?
The show is called Delilah, not Denila. So you can throw Denila out because nothing's getting denied. Still unconfirmed if this is me. It can't be proven definitively.
We all know it's you.
I mean, wife's out of town regularly.
We have established that there are 7 billion people in this world, and this could literally be one of any number.
Cat's named Beans, Panda, friend named Steve-O with a kid named Brody.
It could happen.
Wife's on the road a lot. It kind of sounded like he worked at a church.
It's going to be okay, Jay Danger.
Johnny.
We really wish you would just admit this right now because we don't want to have to pull out the big guns.
Oh, there's big guns.
Yeah.
Huh? You got the big guns.
Time to come clean.
We didn't
want to
do this.
Well, I don't think that I called into the show more than twice, so I don't think you got any more evidence.
Wait.
Well, let's find out if you did or not, okay?
Again, spot on recording quality.
Well, I just got my buddy Dex on the mind.
Dex!
Today.
Cuss word.
He doesn't have a cat. So he's got some dog or something, and makes
you have a dog?
That a lot. So I've been trying to get him, you know, come over and see Beans. You'll know what a real cat's like.
You know what it's like to be comforted by an animal.
And he doesn't like cats, like he's allergic or something.
I'm allergic
because he sneezes.
So is this a buddy friend? Is this a sweetheart friend?
Whoa.
Where does he fall in the friend category?
He's not a sweetheart friend. I don't know how that wire got crossed. He's just a friend. I thought he could use a little furry friend. I thought he could use some cat quality time.
And you were like seated next to each other. God just arranged that.
Well, Dex and I sit next to each other every day. I guess
you
God
do.
Arranged it, but I mean we work together. It's not a. There's nothing. It's just work. It's just work, buddy. So wait, what are you thinking?
And now you're falling in love.
No, we're not falling. That's a hard no on the love. Just work, buddies, Delilah. Guess what, buddy?
Praying a lot that he'll come home safe and sound.
He is home. What's wrong with you?
And is there a song that's become your song, or can I, you know, do a little divine intervention and pick one out for you?
I don't want you to do any divine intervention. I'm not calling you anymore. I think you might be a wizard.
Well,
I mean...
Yeah.
What?! I'm sorry, I'm so overtaken with emotion.
If you're just tuning in, we have confronted our friend Teo.
Don't call me a friend.
An intervention of sorts.
Don't call me at all.
His wife Dawn, his son Jay Danger, and Beans, his
on the
cat,
phone.
Joining us right now.
Dawn, would you put Beans on the phone?
Yeah, hold on, let me get him. All right, here he is.
Beans, tell them to shut up. Go.
See, Teo, here's the problem.
No. I'm using
this. Did you hear anything right now?
This is Exhibit A. Did you see how I just tried to talk to the cat, no response?
Yeah.
There's no evidence of a weird relationship between myself and my cat. Beans, would you say something else? Everything you guys have is circumstantial. I know exactly how Stephen Avery felt.
Yeah, making a perder.
Yep, I'll accept that. That's how I feel right now.
Listen, okay, you don't have to be so defensive. All we're saying is we think that maybe you're just spending too much time with Beans.
Defensive!
And just You know, I mean, maybe you could go for a run or have some more activities or make some new friends. I mean, I know it's hard in New York City, but
I'm not hanging out with you. You don't even like cats.
It's affecting Johnny.
You're making Johnny upset, Johnny.
It's affecting Johnny.
He hears what you guys are doing.
Oh, Johnny.
That's my defender right there.
It's okay, buddy.
I love you. Did you
don't
hear
say
that?
You love
he
my
said
baby.
That. No, he
we're
said
gonna,
he's
we're
going to
get
that.
Help for your dad. Yeah. We're going to get help for your dad.
Johnny, this is me. Your dad.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
Okay. I feel like we've done so much good today. Don, how do you feel about this situation? What can we do?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, what does the Bible say? Like, first you take one friend, and then you take, like, 77 friends. What
yeah.
is it?
And then you put him on the radio. It was Matthew 18.
Friends.
If
who
he still
has...
doesn't listen after
many,
the two friends.
I think that's about how many listeners you guys
and
have.
And then,
now.
Yeah, about 77. Maybe 75 after this bit.
Here's the good news, Don. Yeah. We have some great counselors here.
We do.
Albuquerque, Calvary of Albuquerque, and you guys can totally sit down with these campus pastors.
They're going to make us sit down with Nate.
That sounds good.
Jay Danger, you can come too. You can have some counseling too.
Yep. Amazing. I feel like we did a lot of good today, Dex, and restoring nothing.
You guys, we're not coming to the Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
Sports holiday is canceled.
We may have lost a good friend, but at least we feel right about our righteous indignation. Am I right?
Okay.
Am I right?
That's right, Jay.
And that's what it's all about, isn't that? That's also in the Bible, isn't it?
It is.
I've seen that a lot, at least.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Thank you.
Tell him, Johnny.
He's got a lot to say about his dad.
Oh, amazing.
He loves
amazing.
You a lot. We love you too, Dale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you guys at least trying.
Yeah, it's going to be okay, Don. We love you.
We're praying for you.
Love you too. You guys have a good day.
All right. I love you too.
Love you, baby. Bye.
You guys have caused much strife within my marriage.
It's going to be okay, Teo. I feel like now that at least it's out in the open, you'll be more consciously aware of your relationship with Beans, the cat.
Yep. The Bible says keep the cat, the marriage bed pure and untrifled with or something. You guys are just all up in there.
And not only do we love you, but our listeners love you too.
You guys are making me feel like a common street youth.
They hung up.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back.
Invasion on Star 88.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
Hey, this is Dex from the Morning Invasion. Do you love hearing Steve-O every morning?
It's a Morning Invasion. Coming straight to your Asians?
Stop it. Stop it. He made it racist.
Or maybe you like that southern boy from Mississippi, Mateo.
It's the Morning Invasion, adjusted for inflation. I'd like to rap into you, but I'm comfy in my station.
With growing numbers each week, you could use this time to tell our listeners about your business or product. Get in touch with us by sending an email to radio@star88.fm.
All is well. We're back with the Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Good morning, everyone. February 3rd, it is 8:03.
High today of 35 degrees.
Broken friendships and crushed dreams.
No way, man.
It's a solid Wednesday here at the Morning Invasion.
Shout out to the 1%ers out there who stopped listening and didn't realize we are a hilarious morning show and do funny things.
Yeah. Now, I've got defenders.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that took us way too seriously. And here's the scary part. Your defenders believe you called Delilah because you have a weird obsession with your cat.
Delilah.
Would you call them defenders?
Yes. Because it's still unconfirmed whether or not that was me. There was a lot of consequential, circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
Come on, making a perder was pretty good. Am I right?
That was really good. Good job with that.
Thank you.
If you missed out on our intervention with Teo, we'll have it up at the podcast.
Not successful.
For the 1%ers out there who thought that was real, I would like to point out that no, that is not biblical. No, you do not confront your friend in public on the air.
Right.
Why not?
Any other dumb ways that we try and say, but I'm loving him. I'm speaking the truth in love. No, dude.
That's the thing. We would never do that to Teo. I wouldn't do that to Steve-O. Well, I hope you guys wouldn't do that to me.
I don't believe you because you just did it
I mean,
to
you
me.
Know.
It took half an hour to get through that crap.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, those calls weren't real. So.
We should have chosen another day to do this. We have a touch base with our big boss today, and we chose today to do the Delilah bit. Are we in trouble?
I, for one, am stoked.
You know what? You know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. This was a test for you, the listeners.
Yeah.
And you guys, some of you failed out there.
Yeah.
You failed. 99% excelled. I mean...
Yep.
Thanks to everybody who chimed in.
We heard from three or four people of the 75 that listened to us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And one person in particular, she is not happy.
No, not at all.
Not happy a bit.
She doesn't like me. But
she does not. She does not like Dex. But it kind of goes by. I mean, she misses Comics Corner.
Yeah.
There's a comment in there about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just really wants
her
to protect me.
Her disdain for Dex as the host. Mm-hmm. I mean.
But that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Not everybody is going to like me.
No,
and I get it.
You can't win them all.
You can't. And I'm okay with that. I've dealt with that for years. I'm fine with that.
When I first met Dex, I hated the guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
You know, it only took me like 13 years to get acclimated. It's so true. Keep listening. It'll come.
Hit that podcast. iTunes, you can subscribe. It usually gets posted on iTunes around noon is when it goes up there. And you guys can get the whole show. And we got to put those calls, just the calls, up on our website.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we got to put those up there.
Yeah.
They're that good.
No, we don't have to put those up there.
So people can share them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're
like
great.
That. I like that.
I, you know, my dream is that we can get Delilah on the show for you.
Delilah! Well, you know a producer in her camp. Why don't you give him a call?
Oh, yeah. Chad Brad Bryan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chad Brad Bryan.
Totally know
the
him.
The bad guy from every 80s movie.
Every.
He's up at the ski lodge
one.
Right now.
I got sucked into Delilah on YouTube the other day.
Yeah.
And there was a CNN special report with Delilah, and it was really good. They interviewed her at her little ranch home. Where does she live, Tail?
I believe she lives in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Is that real?
She she has a lot of kids. She's a grandma. She loves the Lord. She talked about how much she loved the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about her radio show, and she seems like a really nice lady.
She lives in
she's Oregon. The real deal.
I think she lives in Oregon. She was born in Oregon.
And Tail just loves
she
her.
Lives near Port Orchard, Washington.
Huge fan.
Tail and Beans every night.
Yeah.
Turn
did
on
you
Delilah.
Guys know that she voiced Sarah in the VeggieTales episode Abe and the Amazing Promise?
No way!
Thanks for your calls tonight, Avon.
Who is Avon?
For a busy world.
Is that somebody's name?
That's someone's name.
Oh, Avon. Avon. Thanks.
Oh, goodness. Okay, 9 o'clock, we have Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzik.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be in...
This is going to be a fun one if
throw
you heard that
advice.
Segment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be like, hey, Teo, let's sit down for a while and broadcast this, too.
Speaking of interventions coming up, I've got what your choice of wing sauce reveals about you as we head into sports holiday weekend.
Sports holiday! Boom!
Yeah. That.
Ready for some more news?
I would love to do it. I would also like to point out that Victoria says I am way better at doing the news than Dex. Thanks, Gal.
You know what, Victoria? You are.
We need to get her a Teo t-shirt.
No, she I says, agree. I am better than you at doing the news. Me. Teo.
Oh. Oh, wait.
Yeah. We need to get her a Teo t-shirt.
Teo.
Hashtag Teo. T-E-O. That's how you spell it, everybody.
Well, Victoria,
T-E-O.
That's why he does the news.
Yep.
That's why he's the news guy.
Yeah.
Because he is better.
Yeah, that's right. That's, yeah.
I know my gifts.
I might have an idiosyncratic voice, but I'll tell you, I'm a storyteller.
The only thing I'm really good at is clicking this mouse over here. That's really
I hear you clicking
really
away, Cinderella.
And I have an infectious laugh.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do too. That's what people say.
I thought
infected laugh.
The main reason for a life of crime was that you wanted to make money without hard work.
That's true.
Instead, we call that socialism. This guy's day sounds exhausting. 43-year-old Abdul Harley has robbed 10 banks
Come on, man.
In New York City since November, including 5 last Thursday.
Whoa!
5 in 1 day.
5 in 1 day?
Let's take a look at his itinerary. 9:30 a.m., rob Bank of America. Robbed Banco Popular. 2 p.m. No, wait, 10:47 a.m. That's the Banco Popular. 1:09 p.m., robbed a Chase Bank. 1:39 p.m., robbed an HSBC Bank. 2 p.m., robbed a TD Bank. That's a touchdown bank.
Man, 5 in 1 day and he got away with it?
By those last two, word was already out that a guy was robbing every bank in sight. So security guards stopped him both times and called the cops. They tracked him down a few minutes later and arrested him for several counts of robbery. Robberty.
I can't remember this guy's name. Maybe you guys know who this is, but he wrote a book. He's a Christian guy, and in his previous life,
wait,
BC,
that's reincarnation.
I mean BC before he found Christ.
Oh,
He was a bank robber,
and
he actually found Christ when he was robbing banks and continued to rob banks.
Was he in the vault?
He went to prison. He finally turned himself in. And he wrote a book about it, and I'll figure out what that is so I can tell you guys what it is. Because it was a really good book.
It's good.
It was, man. And he spent time in prison, had to pay back all the money he stole from the banks that he robbed. And he goes into details on how to successfully rob a bank. It's
Wait,
great.
Why would you break? What are you putting out there, man? Hey,
the
1%ers
can we have
an intervention?
Oh, they hate you so much.
Why don't you turn this around on me?
Mr. Secular Radio, let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
When's the last time you said, or you read, go rob a bank in the Bible? Exactly. Banks didn't exist.
Let me think about it.
A new study found that when a city's team is in the Super Bowl, the death rate jumps.
No. We talked about this earlier.
Steve-O mentioned it earlier. The flu is spread at sports holiday parties, spread through shouting, coughing, and double dipping chips.
The double dipper, guys.
No double dipping.
He'll kill you every time.
Yeah, but I remember it was a year or two ago. They came out and said double dipping is fine. And
double dipping is fine, y'all.
Actually doesn't put any germs back into the dip.
That's a
double
lie.
Dip. Move your hip. Get that chip off of your lip. It's Super Bowl party 9 to 9.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
That was really good.
Steve-O also reported this because apparently he was reading Matt's news and not Steve-O's stuff. The newest Oreo cookie flavor is coming out next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it on Facebook.
Sounds to me like someone was double dipping the news.
Okay.
It's called Filled Cupcake.
Oh, I'm a big fan of cupcakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Hostess.
The
cupcakes.
Mostest?
Yes. Those are my favorite.
Why?
I don't know. I just like
you can't talk about it.
Okay.
I'm a bigger fan of Ding Dongs.
Yeah, you are.
They're like the hockey puck. They're like those hockey pucks.
Mm.
Okay. Let's talk about this. Madden NFL predicted a 24-20 win for the Carolina Panthers.
Whoa!
Yes, they did.
Now listen, every year there's a video game that is possessed by wizards and witches. It's called Madden. Madden NFL.
Don't let your kids play that.
My favorite thing is the narration by John Madden. He really expounds on the purpose of football and how to win. He's like, in order to win, you're going to have to run that ball all the way to the other end zone.
Yep.
It's Super Bowl 50, Phil. They've trained all their lives to be in this position. It's going to live up to everything you ever dreamed about it being. An entire season of work, and it looks like Super Bowl 50 will come down to this play.
Oh, this play right here. Huh?
Touchdown! Oh. Touchdown!
Told you!
What a huge play!
Who?
The Carolina Panthers won the Super Bowl.
That's not real. That's not real, guys.
The Panthers win the
they
Super
have,
Bowl!
No, it's this Sunday. Woo! It hasn't happened yet, buddy. That was a video game. That's
Every
not real life.
Every year, EA Sports runs a simulated Super Bowl.
It's in the game.
Using the latest Madden game. It's been right 9 out of the last 12 years. I did not know that. That's pretty crazy. Last year, they not only got the winner right, they nailed the final score.
Of course they did.
This year's simulation says the Panthers will best the Broncos 24-20.
Panthers win!
Now,
Panthers
I will say this. Teo said, and it much fabled Teo in his wisdom, said it was going to be a close game.
Yep.
And it would come down to 3 or 4 points. But Teo has the Broncos to win.
You do?
Hashtag third person Teo.
Hashtag defense.
Yep. Hashtag Peyton Manning's forehead.
Oh, dude.
And just a quick teaser. On Friday, when Buck joins us on the show, we'll play our first round of Super Blow.
Yes! Super
Blow! We have a way that we have predicted the Super Bowl, and we have 100% accuracy on who wins every year.
Exaggeration.
And we're going to need your help with that on Friday, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, Super Blow!
I can't believe that the video game predicted the, not only the, you know, 9 out of 12 times, but the actual score last year. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's scripted. Like the same people that write the story for the sports holiday
right.
also have their hands in Madden NFL video games. It's interesting, the evidence. It feels like there's more evidence for that than there was for that actually being me on those Delilah calls in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Bring up a good point.
Yeah.
I do. I always do. A Delta Airlines flight from L.A. to Minneapolis was diverted to Salt Lake City a few weeks ago because two flight attendants spilled some orange juice.
Okay.
Or did they mess up the bathroom?
No.
Maybe they were smoking on the flight?
Well, that could be. It's
a possibility.
The correct answer is G. They got in a fist fight.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, they were kicked off the plane. It got to Minneapolis about an hour and 15 minutes late. A Delta Airlines flight from L.A. to Minneapolis on January 22nd had to be diverted to Salt Lake after 40 minutes of flight because two flight attendants got into a fist fight. We don't know if they were male flight attendants, female, or a guy and a girl. Delta just confirmed that it actually did happen. They say the flight attendants had a disagreement over some work issues, and both were kicked off the flight in Salt Lake City.
I think I have some audio of somebody that was there on the scene.
I would love
to hear. It's a war zone. There are explosions.
No,
there are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
Okay.
That was the wrong clip.
The taco lady was there.
Yes, yes.
She saw the whole thing.
Taco lady from Albuquerque was on the flight.
By the way, we need to check in with her and see if she still has her big sign up.
Yeah,
we need to call her. Can we call her?
Yes.
Taco Bell lady, call in.
I know you're listening. She loves Delilah.
Mm. Delilah. That's all the news I want to talk about right now.
All right,
let's switch gears and talk about Steve-O.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this letter I got.
Uh-oh.
Did you get a letter?
I got a letter.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I got a letter.
This isn't the normal letter music.
All right. The letter I got is titled, I Am So Cool, I Drive a Minivan.
Heck well, yeah!
Logically, it has already failed.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, love the new morning show.
Thank you.
Heard Steve-O say he got a minivan.
Yep!
I just wanted to let Steve-O know that I drive a minivan. I drive a pickup truck, too. But I also drive and own a minivan.
Mm.
Because I drive a minivan, I am cool.
Yeah.
Here is my theory.
Yeah.
Driving a minivan is uncool. It is so uncool that it is almost cool.
Uh-huh.
The general public considers it uncool.
Right.
Going against the grain makes me a rebel, and being a rebel is cool. Therefore, because I drive a minivan, I am cool, and so are you, Steve-O.
Yes!
That's not cool. What? Seriously, that is not cool.
But it's so cool.
There's Cartman again.
That is not cool.
But Cartman, it's...
There's nothing cooler than calling yourself cool.
That's true.
Thank you.
That's true.
To be fair, I have actually never driven said minivan.
Oh, that's a lie.
Because I am married.
You didn't test drive that puppy before you bought it?
What? My wife did. She is the procurer of said cars.
Nice.
We've been married 13 years, and in said 13 years... She has gotten the cars.
I bet your wife changes the oil, too.
Actually, I do. At home.
My point is that the man should drive it first to make sure that everything's okay and safe.
Everything is okay and safe. It's a brand new, quote-unquote brand new 2015 minivan.
Well, you're lucky that nothing happened.
You feel safe just being around it.
Yeah.
I told Chrissy she should name it the Enterprise.
Yeah, it's a spaceship,
or
man.
She should name it Patrick Stewart.
It's got, Blu-ray up in there. I'm just saying.
You know,
I want to live in it.
Here's the thing with the minivan thing. I had a minivan in my 20s.
Okay.
And it was so uncool when you
were in your 20s. No, it is not uncool.
It really is. When you're in your 20s, you can't own a minivan. Now that we're in our 30s, it's the greatest thing ever.
Here's why it's cool, guys. All right? Teo and I play music, right? We're in a quote-unquote band. We rock music every single weekend at Calvary Knob Hill. I could probably fit all of the band gear in this minivan.
We could take that on the road.
We can take the whole baseball
just
team.
Just cruise with amps, gear, everything we need. It's cool, guys.
It's way cool.
You know what's not cool? Driving your little Mazda Miata and not having any room for anything. All right?
What are
our
you,
Super
McGruber?
Bowl party this Sunday is going to be in the minivan. All right?
Cool.
Yeah. There's an HD screen in there. All right? It's
cool.
Like 4.7 inches.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. So, but there's no food allowed in the car, actually.
Cool.
So, I know. So it's going to be pretty limited as far as the fun factor.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fading. My wife drives a minivan, guys. My wife drives a minivan.
How does it feel to be an aging adult?
You know, we've hit that phase in life where you drive the minivan and realize...
Has your eyesight started to go?
Heck with you guys.
It's the eyes first.
It's cool to me and that's all that matters.
You know it's the eyes first.
You guys are killing me right now. My wife was like devastated that we were getting the minivan.
Old age
really?
Is killing you.
Yes!
She was?
I was the one that was like, bro, minivan, look at this thing. It's like a party on wheels.
She wanted an SUV.
And she was like, I don't want a minivan. We test drove like all these other vehicles and... At the end of the day, like, we got in the minivan last, and I said, do we really even need to drive it? I mean, look at this thing. It's a party on wheels.
What do I sign?
I want this.
It's a party bus, bro.
Guys, okay?
That's it's a mystery awesome.
My boy D-Lo, Paul DiLorenzo, he was like, hey, like, come on down. You know?
Got you.
And, yeah, and he had his friend Andrew, who was just running the straight game down there.
Cool.
That quality. And he was like, bro. This is my top five list. And so he showed us a bunch of cars. And Chrissy drove a few like SUVs. Third row. And I'm like, yeah.
We got the third row. It's
SUVs are terrible on gas
but
mileage.
Have, not anymore because gas is like
Blu-ray?
$1.60.
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Telling you, bro, the Blu-ray.
What do you get? What's your gas mileage on that?
Oh, dude, 4?
Yeah, you're not getting any better than I am.
Maybe.
Pretty solid.
No, man, it's got Eco Green Boost.
Oh, yeah, so
it's
do
one
I.
of them.
Yeah, I still get like
it's
10
got all the bells
gallon.
And whistles.
Oh, so you one of them socialists like ethanol.
Cool.
It is cool. I will be murdered when I get home now. So I thank you guys because my wife's already talking about how uncool it is, and I'm trying to convince her how cool minivan is.
You look real cool.
I drive a Chrysler, okay?
Real cool. Driving that Chrysler. Down the country.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
We heard that you guys were talking about the Taco Bee lady.
Oh, yeah. What's the update?
Well, we're her neighbors. We're her direct next-door neighbors.
Oh, go
Cindy.
Over there
is
now.
Is she still out there on the streets of the sign?
No, she actually repainted her fence, but you can totally see it when the sun hits the fence, you can totally see it still says Taco Bee is killing me.
Oh, man.
Is the construction all done?
The construction is all done. They're still working on the building a little bit. But the thing about it is that property where they were doing the construction has always been some type of restaurant. It wasn't like it went from, you know, some office building to a fast food restaurant. It has always been something.
And that lady's lived there forever, right?
No, she hasn't.
Hmm.
Oh my
no.
God.
Dex is he's just a procurer of knowledge and information. He just
I just assumed that she did.
Things.
I really assumed that she lived there forever because that's why she's making such
Sandy.
A
We need to catch the audience up on who what we're even talking about. They don't even
Sandy,
know what we're talking about right now.
I have a question.
Sure.
Have you been listening all morning?
All morning, I haven't. My husband, we have been listening, but I had to get kids ready for school, so
like
the radio wasn't on.
So you
but
didn't hear that.
My husband was driving to work, and he's been listening, so he called me and he's like, they're talking about the Taco Bee lady.
Yes. did you hear the Delilah bit?
No, I didn't. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Good. Have a good day.
Go download the podcast. download the podcast.
Like Steve said, let me recap to everybody that doesn't know.
Yeah.
What was it, a couple weeks ago? There was a local story mm-hmm. of this called the Taco Bell lady.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she lives in an area where they were putting up a new Taco Bell. They were doing the construction on it. And her house was located right next door, and she was really fired up and upset.
She was mad.
Because of the noise that mm-hmm. the construction mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Crew was making every day. Because they, you know, that construction right at 7 a.m., they're going.
Right.
They got their jackhammers out there, and they're just going to town. And so this lady, she had enough. So she put on her fur jacket, and she went out on the street with a sign that said, what?
Killing me.
Taco Bee is killing me.
Taco Bee is killing me. And this is what she said to the news.
It's a war zone. There are explosions.
There are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
Is that what it sounded like? Because you're next door neighbors with her, so you were right
No, we didn't hear anything. And actually, when they were doing the report, they interviewed my oldest son.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was kind of like, and he's 15, so he's ecstatic.
I was just about to say, 15, like, yeah.
That's his favorite restaurant, but he hasn't always lived there. It's since we've been here, that's gone, she's probably the third owner of that house.
Interesting.
You need to care more about your son's health, because
you know
that
what?
Should
he
not
is 15.
Be a
he's about 6'4", about 240.
Okay. So I'm gonna stop saying negative things about him.
So if he grabs Taco Bell on the way home, that's just like a light snack for him before dinner.
Wow.
Yeah,
I feel like
kid.
Next right. time something like this happens, someone needs to help the lady out with a more clever slogan.
Yes.
I said a couple weeks ago, she should have written, "Bail me out."
Oh, yeah. Man. Yep.
It would have been positive press. Everybody would have thought she was clever. They would have said, maybe this lady's onto something. Maybe this isn't a good idea. Yep. But instead, she chose, "Taco B is killing me."
Yeah.
Okay, so she painted back over red and the fence red again. And right next to her, behind her property, is a Lowe's supermarket. So we get the delivery trucks right behind our houses.
Mm.
So that's noise constantly. But we use that little alleyway as like a shortcut to get to the store. And I have grandkids that, you know, can read now. And they were singing it like a chant, like, "Taco B is killing me. Taco B is killing me." Walking to the store. And I'm like, wait, that's not cool. We can't. We can't do that,
yeah.
But it's become like, you know, my daughter overheard her telling somebody else that she painted over it because it was getting too much press.
Oh,
well, all the news stations have been here. She was, like you said, out on the street in her fur jacket and her mini skirt and her go-go boots,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting this attention. And then now the restaurant's almost finished. It's almost going to open, and she doesn't want the press anymore.
Well,
but,
yeah.
I mean, everybody already knows about it. If you live in Albuquerque, you know about the Taco B is killing me lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad you called in with an update, because I've been thinking about that situation for weeks now. Just wondering, is that lady still out there with that sign?
No, it got colder. The news stopped coming around, so she came in the house.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for listening.
You guys have a great day. Thank you. We're
too.
So glad to find you guys, and we enjoy your program very much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
It's a war zone. There are explosions. There are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
I get it. I understand.
You don't understand.
I totally understand what you're going through. It's like this morning show is exactly what you just described every morning.
There are bombs going off.
We got to go to break.
Nice.
Good morning, everybody. More news on the way. Get you updated on some traffic. Anything serious right now in traffic that we need to talk about?
Let me take a quick look
just
for
a
you
gander.
Right here.
If it looks all green, we're good.
Let me take a gandry.
We're good.
Oh, my gosh.
No?
There's a lot of stuff going on this morning. There's an accident at Wyoming Boulevard at Zuni Road.
Zuni.
Accident at Wansabo Boulevard and Candelaria Road. Also up in Rio Rancho, there's some utility work. Left lanes, it's closed. Highway 528 North and Southern Boulevard. So you guys be careful this morning.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch. You guys, when you go in to get a coffee or a burrito or, you know, a nice delicious snack, make sure you tell them that you heard Morning Invasion telling you to go get a delicious snack.
Yeah, man.
All right, we'll be back.
We got to take a break, but fear not. The Morning Invasion will be right back. It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
3-time NASCAR champion Tony Stewart is hospitalized with a back injury.
The presidential candidates on to New Hampshire.
Bill Cosby's in court.
Nominations are out for this year's Junos.
Yahoo just announcing 1,700 layoffs.
The emergency manager for Detroit Public Schools stepped out.
Health officials in Dallas County, Texas, say they're announcing the case of Zika virus.
Paul Ryan meets with President Obama at the White House.
The Obama administration's proposing new investment to battle a growing drug problem.
Much of the new spending would go to boosting treatment for heroin and opioid abusers.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Rome telling the coalition fighting ISIS, or Daesh as it's sometimes known,
"We are hammering Daesh's heavy weapons."
Several inches of snow on Colorado. The same system is bringing blizzard conditions from the plains up to the Great Lakes.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for being on the show.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good, man.
Good. Is Mateo there?
I'm here. What's up?
Hey, man. I just have one thing that I want to say.
Okay.
Have you been cranking it like a chainsaw, bro?
Cranking it like a chainsaw.
Family Force 5.
Who is this?
Yes, sir. This is Braden from Las Cruces.
Braden from Las Cruces. Braden. Are you excited? March 4th, 2016.
Did you hear?
Morning Invasion. We're taking over your city, dog.
Do you know we're coming
down? Yes.
We will be there broadcasting live that Friday for Rock and Worship Roadshow.
Yes.
Family Force 5, Audio Adrenaline, Newsboys.
Better come and do the show with us.
So together, you and I will crank it like a chainsaw.
I will jump on that stage and crank it there like there is no tomorrow.
Okay. Beautiful.
Can't wait to see you there.
Beautiful.
Hey, what day is this again?
Friday, March 4th.
Friday, March 4th?
Yep.
Excellent.
Tell the world, or at least just Las Cruces.
I also request that you guys bring the song back.
Okay.
Chainsaw
by Family Force 5.
We'll see what we can do, okay?
All right.
Have a good day.
God bless, guys.
God bless you. Las Cruces, we're coming to your city, dog.
Yeah.
That's right.
It is 8:38.
High today of 35 degrees.
Nice. Is it really 35?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yo, shout out to Brayden. What's up, Brayden?
Yeah.
Pull boy from Cruces.
It's true.
Yo, that's my boy.
Yeah?
Like your son?
No, not my son. My son's bigger than him.
That's my son.
Yeah, bigger but younger.
Nice.
Anyway, hey, guys.
Hey.
I just want to go off of what Brayden's saying, man.
Yeah?
We're ready for you, and what can we do, man?
You can, I don't know.
Tell local businesses, you know, we're non-com. We could definitely use the support to pay for our gas and whatnot. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Clothe us.
We would love sponsorship of our trip, bro.
Yeesh.
Mm. Okay. All right. And how about, what are you guys doing for food?
I will not settle for anything less than Boston cream donuts.
And I will not settle for anything less than steakhouses.
And I would like something compliant with the challenge.
You guys are getting McDoubles with no onions.
I love buffets as well.
Okay.
If you can pull up a buffet, I will be happy with the buffet.
At least you said no onions.
McDouble, no onions, extra pickles for you, Dex.
Okay.
Boom.
I'll take it.
No onions was the right choice there, pool boy. Thank you.
So how's the setup going to be? Do I have to go to the concert to...
Yeah, we have no idea.
It's a great question, man. See, here's how we do in radio. We announce stuff, and then we work out the details.
We can't do that.
We have no idea.
We'll let you know as soon as we figure it all out.
All right, man. But I'll definitely see you guys. I'll definitely stop by, and I'll do my best with the people that I know to help you guys out, man.
Dude, good. Email us studio@star88.fm, and we can.
No, I don't do emails.
Okay.
Well,
I don't even have a smartphone, dude. I don't do none of that.
Oh, okay.
Good for you, pool boy.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't. We're trying to sit at home. It's funny because I'll sit at home. My son is about to graduate high school this year. He's 17. My daughter just turned 14, and my wife just turned 12.
Yeah.
And their face is just burying it. It is the most annoying thing.
All right, pool boy, we're gonna hang up on you now.
We love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
Sometimes you just gotta lovingly hang up on someone.
Love that.
I can't believe you guys have never met him in person. I know he lives in Kansas, but he's been calling in for years.
Yeah, can't wait. Guys, we're coming to your city. March 4th. How'd your kids? How'd your wife?
All right, let me jump into this real quick. This guy, he created an artificial intelligence bot to torture telemarketers.
See what you guys
think about this. Because you guys remember when the Do Not Call list came out?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was supposed to stop telemarketers.
Right.
And the telemarketers figured out how to get around it. And there's laws in place.
I will say this. Back in my day, they used to have this building over here. It was called the MCIs.
I worked at MCI in high school.
You were the person
for like 3 days. And then I was like, okay, I get it. You're eating dinner. I am so sorry.
Good. I can't wait for you to
Please
respond.
Please don't kill my family.
When you hear this call, because I have the call of the bot that is going to torture this telemarketer here in a second.
But love it.
The question is, do they deserve to be punished for it? You know, did Steve-O
choice of profession
deserve to get punished and yelled at
every day?
Just trying to help you with your long distance.
Day.
Okay, 25 cents a minute was a good deal back then.
This guy named Roger Anderson figured out a great way to do it, and he created this bot that can detect when a telemarketer is calling, then strings them along with pre-recorded comments to waste as much of their time as possible.
Wow.
The bots stall by doing things like telling the telemarketer to hang on while he has a conversation with his wife, pretending a bee is on his arm. It goes on and on, and the telemarketer he gets frustrated.
Mm.
Hello? Yes. Hello?
I'm going to speak to Mr. Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph, please.
Wait, is this a real person?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I just woke up.
I thought you hung up.
Kind of groggy, and I took some medicine that doesn't help. Hello. Feeling when you just wake up, you need a couple minutes to think and figure out what's going on. Maybe get some coffee. Do you drink coffee? Hey, honey, is there any coffee left?
I thought you hung up, sir. There's no need to act like that on the phone.
I'm so all the way.
Goodbye.
Slower. Who's this?
Hello. I'm from the California home.
My name's Steve-O.
We are licensed contractors looking for work. I thought you hung up. I heard several clicks. That's why I hesitated. But anyway, we had sent mailers out saying that we're going to be on a drive and they were giving homeowners big discounts.
Sure.
And I was wondering, since we're going to be on a drive.
Hang on.
Drive,
on me.
What did I do?
A bee on my arm.
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, shoot.
You know what? You keep talking. I'm not going to talk, though, but go ahead and keep talking. Say that part again. Stay quiet because of this bee.
No, it's okay. I hope you get the bee off. No, I was just saying that we're going to be on drive giving homeowners free estimates, lower prices, and discounts on home improvement work, like painting, remodeling. We do flooring. We do everything, driveways. And I was wondering, since we're going to be on your street, is there anything that you were thinking about doing on your home now or 6 months from now? Is there anything you think about doing?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
So this
it's
is
totally crawling up my arm.
Okay, you got that bee.
It's freaking me out.
Knock him off.
It's not mad, I guess. It's okay. Anyway.
Is that a bumblebee? Is it a bumblebee or a wasp? If that's a wasp, he would have stung you by now.
Okay, it's gone. Hey.
Oh, it's gone.
I said I was listening to you during the bee thing? I was just concentrating on the bee. I'm sorry. So can you start over what were you saying during the bee?
So that was an actual recording.
Incredible!
That's a bot. That's not
it's a
guy.
Bot. Yeah, this is a bot.
That is so brilliant.
He's got a bee on me.
Yeah, it says that he keeps most telemarketers on the line for at least 5 minutes before they give up, and sometimes a lot longer.
Wonderful.
And he also set it up so you can use it to if you want to use it for telemarketers, and he has a number that you can actually put in when they call. So it's amazing.
Dude, that was unreal.
Yeah, he created some artificial intelligence to go after those telemarketers because they don't call at the right times.
That's right.
There's really laws.
Yeah, they don't.
Follow them laws. And if not, you're going to get the bot.
I can't even be partially mad. Like, as a former telemarketer, that's just brilliant and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's... Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud that, man.
That was good.
I want that. Can we get that for the morning show? Like, if I'm ever sick or something,
there's
you know? Like,
a bee on me.
Just get, like... Me laughing. What else do I do? Oh, I clap in the background,
totally.
Right? I get that a lot. People say they look like when I clap.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm doing that.
You know, it's almost like the buck bot.
There you go.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. High today, 47 degrees.
Exactly.
When you, like you mess up on
him,
weather.
Maybe we could get Buck to voice it.
Well, I mean, let's not be hasty.
And then instead of Steve-O even talking.
We could have Buck on all the time.
I don't want to replace me.
Ratings would go
love
up.
That.
I feel like I have...
High today, going to be 47 degrees.
I feel like I have something of worth. Yeah. I have value.
Steve-O, you are highly valued,
and you are
worth much.
I just, you know, you guys...
I feel like this Buck box, it's a good idea.
I feel slightly belittled. You know, like
just
maybe I'm not appreciated by the two of you enough.
That's a little bit of belittling.
You know, just...
All right, let's switch gears, talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah!
The The Super Bowl, right? Is that
Thanks
what you
for listening to my heart.
Brilliant.
What do you got?
All right, check it, guys. You guys are both fans of Wings, right?
Love Wings. It is Wing Wednesday.
It is Wing Wednesday.
Oh.
Nope. However,
big fan
I did.
Of the show.
LOL. Ha!
LOL. You.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah,
Wacky
Wings.
Man.
Man.
I thought
right?
this whole thing
stay
was about
on target.
The
stay on. Show. Stay on target.
I thought that it was about the show.
For those of us who love wings, now there are about 19 different establishments you can go into where not only do you get buffalo wings, you got mild, you got lemon pepper, you've got Asian zing, you've got Caribbean jerk, you got mango habanero. Oh. So many choices!
Yeah.
Ah! Well, we all have our favorites. As we learned this morning, Teo's
love
favorite is beans.
Teo.
Love mango habanero.
Beans is bae.
I found a list of what your choice of wing sauce reveals about you. Mm. We all do have favorites. I definitely have favorites. I'd love to say mango habanero is my favorite, but it is so hot
it is,
that it makes me want
it.
To die.
It's worth it. Yes. I'm okay with it being hot. It's so
I got you.
Sweet.
I got you. Let's start with the first one. To anybody listening who says, actually, I'll just order the burger.
Who just orders a burger?
I've done it
Caleb
before.
Caleb Toth.
Ugh, check it. Go home!
It's Toth.
You're not welcome at my Super Bowl party. We're here for wings. You're not being a team player. You're cranky, unimaginative, dull, soulless, and frankly, starting to feel good about the fact that not a drop of wing sauce will be wasted on your dumb palate.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, man,
yeah,
that's extreme.
That's if your favorite wing sauce is the burger.
That was harsh.
I'm just saying, you gotta love wings. If you don't love wings, who are you? Really?
Maybe you just can't have them for a minute.
Side note. Do you want me to bring a wing platter?
Ooh.
Leslie wants to know what we can bring.
Oh, okay.
Guys, talk about this off air. Continue, Steve-O. Go, go.
Okay. Number one, my kids. This is what they usually stick to. Mild.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
No, my kids are the same way. Except Landon.
They don't
Landon
have,
loves hot.
They don't have an adventurous palate.
Landon. Landon.
Landon. Landon.
If you're listening and mild is your favorite wing sauce, you're agreeable enough, but ultimately you may be boring.
Agreeable.
Due to your
bland.
Risk adverse, go with the flow mentality, you're the furthest thing from a natural leader, and unfortunately, probably gets you stuck doing the things you don't really want to do a lot of times, including being at my Super Bowl party. Yeah.
You're sweeping.
However, at work, you're probably the one who does 80% of the work in the group project without calling anyone else out for being lazy, because that's just how you are.
That is not cool.
I know. It's nice of you to come along to my wing party, but starting to get the feeling you're just in it for the celery and carrot sticks, and you're probably not even sure who's playing the game right now. You need to leave the
I'll
party.
Tell you what. I am. Yeah. I love celery and carrot sticks and blue cheese dressing.
Yeah.
Ranch?
Just
some ranch?
Nope.
Hot. Fiery.
Fire.
Wild if you're a fan of the hot, good for you. You know what you're doing here. You have enough experience to understand that the habanero madness option is just going to ruin your evening, so you're just the right mix of fun, bold, exciting, without being obnoxious to be around. And for that reason, the people around you will probably always crave, or at least enjoy your company.
Mm.
We're going to get along just fine, my hot friend. Dexter, you said habanero madness.
Love it.
Mango habanero, your jam? Well, this is a tricky one if you order this because you have an unusually high tolerance for tongue-bursting spice.
Whoa.
And you genuinely enjoy the extra kick. That's cool.
Cool.
If you just order and eat it. In that case, odds are you're a little strange on the outside, but a fascinating person for those who take the time to get to know you. On the other hand, if you sit at the end of the table saying words like habanero, right, bro, 47 times throughout the
that
meal, and throw in a couple, woo, that is, oh, yep,
that
there's the
cool.
habanero. If you're that guy, my friend, chances are you need to leave my party, first of all.
Oh, man, that's not cool. Seriously, that is not cool.
You're kind of, you're a bag of something that I just can't even say. It's bad. It's really bad.
Bag of cool?
Wing sauce reveals character in a subtle, quiet manner. No one cares. You enjoy bathing your tongue in lava. Literally no one.
Amen.
Stop talking about it.
Man,
from now on, everything you say will seem like an exaggeration. Wow, this is just Dex to
that
the T.
That sounds like my friend
We cannot
Steve-O.
Wait to get away from you and talk trash Man. About your wing. Yeah.
I'm not going to talk trash about it. That's just a personal preference.
All this wing talk is making
talk
me hungry.
About it too much.
Yeah. Teriyaki? Teriyaki, your jam?
Teriyaki.
All right, if teriyaki's your jam.
Bring it.
You're the lovable goof of the group. Teriyaki wings are the ultimate oops order.
Oops.
He'll love it for about 1 to 3 wings worth of it and then realize it's a little too sweet for dinner.
Mmm.
And that's not one restaurant's teriyaki wings are better than another's. No, seriously, all teriyaki sauces are stupid sweet and should not be had for dinner.
Okay. That's not good.
But hey, hey,
stop
you know what? Moving right along. Spicy garlic.
Anything.
Spicy garlic. Do I have any spicy garlics in the house?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well played. Well
I like
played.
The cool one, and you're wearing it out on me.
Spicy garlic is that wing that can be both spicy and flavored and shock of all shocks. That's who you are, my friend. You literally do everything well.
Whatever.
I know. Own special touch. You're confident. You're effortlessly charming.
Who gave you
you're
a soundboard?
You're socially versatile. You have a better feel than most for what you actually like.
Cool.
I know. Thanks, Spicy Garlic.
I'm trying
garlic.
To make this bit a little bit better.
I like where you're going.
You
next.
Know what, jerks?
You invested a lot of time in that wing list.
You guys are all about the wing madness.
I'm hungry now.
You're ganging up
my
on me again like a bunch of jerks.
I just want to eat right now.
I'm so excited that failed.
This speaks so well to your mango habanero taste, bro. It just does. It just does.
Here's the fact.
Wait,
of
can
the
you
matter.
Start over?
No.
Let me get to the Caribbean jerk option, which is like everybody's favorite.
True. Let
be.
Me break it down, everybody.
Cool.
Play me something a little serious.
Oh man, yeah. Why you got to put me on the spot?
I'm Johnny on the spot.
Okay.
Make it happen. That'll work. It's a little ominous, but it's serious nonetheless.
Yeah.
This weekend is sports holiday.
That's
this
right.
Weekend is a big weekend for a lot of people. You got Amen. A ton of Broncos fans. You got a ton of some.
Here, this one's better.
Thank you. Panthers fans. But really what sports holiday should be about, not making money,
mm-hmm.
not wing sauce flavors like some of us would have it be about. It's about coming together in fellowship.
Cool!
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's about hanging out with your buds at an exclusive party at Steve-O's house that not even a lot of people can get into.
That's right.
You have to have a pass.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, he'll get it to you later.
There's
the good thing about it, though, is that you can hang out with close friends and family and enjoy a competition and maybe even some movie previews and commercials.
Can we have a wing competition?
Wait.
Like
what
a wing eating contest?
You know what we should do? We should have a list with the best kinds of sauces so we could be prepared for a wing.
Oh, so now you guys are into
Maybe we should do that Friday.
Now you guys are into my wing list.
I'll get a list, don't worry about it.
Cool.
Thanks, cool man. Yeah.
Wing list. Cool. Oh, I just found a list.
Oh.
There was one already in our show prep. It's all about like what this wing sauce says about you.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool.
I put that in the
Cool.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
What did the habanero say about me? What did you say again?
That I'm depends. Really how do you cool? enjoy the mango habanero? Are you cool? Like,
I was just
do you
joking.
Just chill?
I didn't really want you to tell me.
Okay. Just thought it was a good idea, guys. People out there like wings.
Oh, I love it. No, it was great.
People out there like wings.
Love it. Who doesn't like wings? And even if you can't say you don't like wings because they have boneless wings. And those aren't really wings. Those are just chicken nuggets.
You know what's amazing? My absolute favorite that I didn't even get to was Caribbean Jerk. And you know what Caribbean Jerk says about somebody? It says this. It means you can't really be judged because no one else at your table orders it. Because no one understands your psyche. But if they had to venture a guess, you're probably a little offbeat. You might be a little bit of a loner. You know, the confident one, though, so it's cool. And it's a good bet.
Hey,
you're one of those
you.
People who travels all over the world. It's fascinating. People love you, adore you, want to be you. You may have two co-hosts who mock you and make fun of you all the time, but guess what?
Could.
You're confident enough in your Caribbean jerk
That's
skills.
That's not in the list.
That you could say,
screw you guys. I'm going home.
We have to go to break.
That's it for me.
When we come back, Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Mike Heitzik. We'll be taking your calls. If you need some help, you need some answers, we'll do that next.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. It's time for The Morning Invasion.
I love those guys.
On Star 88.
Good morning, everyone. It is Shock Therapy Live time. It is 9:04.
High today of 35 degrees.
Nate Heitzik is here. Hello, Nate.
Dude, you know what? I was thinking we could just not do Shock Therapy Live today. Instead, we could talk about wings. We could have Steve-O do his wing
it's
deal
wing
again.
Wednesday.
And we could have people call in and talk about how they identify with wings.
I don't. Here's why I don't want
they
to.
They feel like they are.
Shock Therapy Live is kind of a serious show, and so we deal with people with struggles. And I didn't realize how insensitive I was being talking about wings, because poor Dexter has the shortest arms of any man I know, and I realize it's probably really difficult for him to get the wing to his mouth. Mm. So if anything, I just really I don't want to bum him out more.
That was a buck insult. What happened?
Shout out to Aaron.
Yeah, everybody is. Buck just texts Steve-O constantly, like, hit him with this! Hit him with that!
See, he knows.
You know why? Because he was the elder of the show, like I am, and he understood what it was like to have two young kids on the playground bullying and tag teaming up against him.
That is so not true. Constantly. I was the one who always got bullied on the show.
Whatever, right,
Nate,
to you,
Dex. You listen to my old show. I was always the one who was getting picked.
Rawr!
Oh, well, you know what?
Just calling you T-Dex. You know?
T-Dex.
He's got them little T-Dex arms.
I like dinosaurs. Look, Steve-O, we can't all have an AARP card, okay? There's got to be one.
But I drive a minivan, so I'm cool. Yeah.
It is Shock Therapy Live.
You drive a Subaru, don't you?
Yeah. We bought Chrissy a... Shout out to DiLorenzo. We bought Chrissy a brand new minivan this week.
It's a spaceship.
It is a spaceship. She drives the Enterprise.
And she didn't want a minivan, come to find out. She wanted this really nice SUV, but Steve-O's like, no! This minivan is perfect for you!
Dude, better gas mileage. It's got Blu-ray.
It has Blu-ray?
Yes.
Really?
It's got
an HDMI port. It's incredible.
In the back, you know how every car has like a cigarette lighter you can plug into, you know? And then like in our van when we were on tour, we wired in an electrical outlet or whatever. So this van has a full on real electric outlet in the back. Just chilling there.
Yeah. My SUV has that.
With HDMI, awesome. With three USB ports, so you can just plug stuff.
You got satellite radio on there?
Actually, the funny thing is it came with like a year of free, you know, XM radio or whatever. And Chrissy was like, oh, I got it. And I said, if you sign up for that, I'm going to be angry.
That's right.
Why?
Irritated.
Perturbed.
I will be ired.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I have a morning show, bro.
Dude. Satellite radio.
Shout out to Lithium Radio.
isn't the worst thing ever.
It's not the worst, but it's also not the best. It's no like Apple Music.
You know what? You know what's funny is satellite radio was so huge, and then like you have things like Pandora that came out, and it's like, okay, satellite radio is kind of worthless now because now you can listen to like, because you have everyone's like, oh, but I love this style of music, and that's why I love satellite radio. Well, that's what Pandora is.
Yep.
That like literally picks out exactly what you want.
And the thing with satellite radio is with me, the reason why I didn't stick with it is because I really only listened to one, maybe two channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it. I'd find myself just going back to the local radios.
Yep.
So,
and that's why we're here.
I understand how satellite radio works for the people that live out in the boonies, that live out in the Hills Have Eyes areas.
Stop it.
Where, you know, Tao grew up in Mississippi.
What's that?
I understand.
I grew up in the sticks, not the hills.
Okay.
For real.
I've never been to Mississippi.
Dawn grew up in the swamp. Mm. Straight up, like an actual swamp.
Mm.
Alligators.
In the bayou?
Yes. Not the bayou. That's Louisiana.
Oh.
No.
338-3700. Phone lines are open. It's Shock Therapy Live. We have Pastor Nate Heitzik here, and he's going to answer questions, concerns. You need some motivation in your life, encouragement.
Everyone's like, I don't want to call now. They're talking about hot wings and swamps.
Oh, my gosh.
Hot and wings minivans. And purity rings.
Hot wings, swamps, and minivans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much.
What's your favorite wing sauce?
What's my favorite wing sauce?
What's your favorite wing sauce?
Man, I don't think I have a favorite wing sauce.
You need to go.
I have a tough time. Every time I go to the wing place, I can't just pick one.
I've got to
pick like five different ones.
Same. Yep.
I can never pick just a single one.
Depends on the establishment. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Traditional all the
way. I'm traditional all the way.
No. I don't want that breaded junk on there.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Depends on the establishment.
Actually, honestly, for me, it depends on the deal. If you go in, it's like, it's Tuesday, you get extra boneless.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a boneless fan.
I'm a boneless fan.
Yeah.
I usually always get the traditional.
It all depends on the deal.
I've been married 13 years. I am obviously a boneless fan.
We got some emails.
Let's let that hang for a little bit. Hey, Chip, did you hear that?
That is not cool.
Not cool.
Sorry, Cartman.
All right. Phone line's open, by the way. 338-3700. If you want to email the show, studio@star88.fm. All right, let's get to our first email.
Just leave.
It just got so quiet. Just quiet.
It went, sorry. Ooh. Nate's been here for years saying horrible things. I say one thing, I'm out.
What are you talking? I've never said
I need less from you.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay.
I'm going to play my video game.
Speaking of what Steve-O brought up.
Oh, good.
Just look at accessories for your minivan.
I'm just good at segging real conversation, man.
Just look for accessories for your minivan.
It's happening.
I've been struggling with this since I was a teenager. They want to keep this anonymous.
Okay.
Throughout my childhood, I was taught that sex is a beautiful thing, but I should wait until marriage. My parents never gave me the talk. I found out from many friends. Now that I'm an adult and have changed my perspective on a few things when it comes to Christianity, waiting until marriage for sex crosses my mind. I ask my friends what they think, and of course, most of them believe it's alright if you love the person. I understand that God tells us to wait because he wants sex to be special and with someone you love. I also know that he tells us to wait because he wants to protect us from what could happen, such as pregnancy, HIV, STDs, etc. But what if you're in love with the person you're dating? You see a future with them, but you don't know how else to prove your love. It hurts because you love them, and you're afraid that if you tell them you want to wait until marriage, they might leave you. It's understandable that, of course, he or she wouldn't be the one if he ran away after telling them you want to stay pure until marriage. I want to stay pure, but my body is telling me different things. There have been many times where I've almost lost control, but I've ended up stopping the situation. So my question is, how can you bring up the conversation of purity and how you want to wait until marriage without scaring the other person away? Also, what are some tips for staying pure when dating? Please give me any advice you have. I need all of it. Mm.
Well, you know, I think the first thing, the easy way to stay pure when dating and not to scare your spouse away or your love away by letting him know you want to stay pure is by making sure you're dating someone who has a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're a Christian and you're looking for someone to marry, someone to date, the person that you're looking for should be a Christian. So now, again, I'm obviously speaking as though the person I'm talking to is a believer. But I think that's the first thing, because a Christian couple going into a relationship should both have the same sets of values. Something we talked about before, not just are they a Christian, but are they converted? Does this person have the evidences of a relationship and a walk with Christ? Which, if that's the case, the concept of staying pure before marriage shouldn't be like a big surprise and shouldn't be something that should catch you off guard. It should just be the understandable norm for a relationship that's set up following God's parameters. And here's the issue why. When you give yourself sexually, it does something, you know, far more than the dangers of pregnancy and the dangers of STDs. It does something to you spiritually, and it does something to you emotionally. You're giving a part of yourself to that person that was only meant for marriage, that was only meant for a relationship that was founded in the grounds of marriage. And what it does, especially if you have these this set of ideals, this set of things in your mind that you say, I'm not going to do this, what happens is when you drop the bar and you say, you know what, I'll do it in this situation because I love this person, it sets up a thing within your mental state that if you're willing to do it then and drop your boundaries, you're willing to drop your rules and your regulations at that point in your life, what's going to stop you from doing it again in the future? So when you're married and the relationship isn't working out all that great and you're not getting sexually gratified, you're not getting your emotional needs met, what's going to stop you from dropping your rules and your regulations at that point and having an affair and having sex with somebody else? Because you've already done it once, so you've obviously shown yourself that you can do it again. And you set up for yourself just a series of going to the next low when you drop those convictions like that. And so what I would do as far as talking to this person, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, I would say, look, I love you and you know, don't get me wrong, I want to have sex with you, but it's something that I treasure so much that I want it to be a gift for you that is only for you within the confines of marriage. And I want you to know that I'm holding that and I'm keeping that, and that that is your treasure, and that's something that is yours when it's in the confines of marriage. And I think that could be, whether you're a male or a female, if your significant other tells you that could be very meaningful in that mindset, whether you're a believer or whether you're not a believer, knowing that they're saving that for you, knowing that they're keeping that for you, and that it's something that they're only going to give to you within those confines of marriage, I think can be very meaningful and special.
I think all of us here, well, I can't speak for all of you, mm-hmm. So I'll take that back. For me, when I got married, there's nothing more that I would want than to go back and never had sex before marriage, you know, to give that gift to my wife. that I would, gosh, I would love to have given that to her, but I didn't,
right.
You know? And so anybody that's listening right now that, you know, is being pressured, you know, into having sex, man, just be strong.
Yeah,
you know?
This will speak volumes to it because there are 50% of the people in this room waited and 50% of the people in this room did not wait. And the two that waited are content and high-fiving each other. And the two that did not wait are filled with regret and wishing that was something they could give their spouse.
Wow.
So there's not a single person in here who says, man, I'm so glad I didn't wait. I'm so glad,
yeah.
Because it totally didn't bring a ton of emotional baggage and a bunch of... Because when you don't wait, here's what happens. If you don't end up married... Let's say that you decide not to wait. Let's say that you're like, you know what? Screw this. Quite literally, I didn't mean that. But you go for it. And that person ends up not being the person you marry. Now, for the rest of your life, you're dealing with the emotional tie to this person, the spiritual tie, because the two become one flesh. I mean, this is something that happens when you have sex. It is very, it's more than just a carnal act. All right, you are giving your heart, you are giving your body, you are giving your everything to this human being. Now, this person is not the one. This person is gone and out of your life. Well, you still have the emotional ties. You still have the spiritual baggage that will come with that, the hurts, the pains. You will have the guilt, you will have the shame. But on the flip side also, as a man, you will have the comparison. You will, for the rest of your life, have the comparison of their body, of the way that it felt, of the things that you did, of the, I liked this, I didn't like that. And unfortunately, a lot of times, you will in turn use that for the rest of your life as, well, but it doesn't feel like this, or we don't do that like that. And it does nothing but ruin your sex life in the future, actually. It really does. It damages so much. Now, can that be restored? Can God work mighty miracles? Can you, in turn, take that moment and say, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look lustfully after a woman anymore. I'm not going to do these things. I am going to remain pure until such time. Yes, it's possible. Yes, you can do that. But it still does come with that psychologically, yeah. Spiritual damage, everything. And you're just bringing that baggage into your next relationship.
Yep.
And the first time you do it, guess what? It becomes easier to do it the second time and the third time. And then next thing you know, you're just having sex with people going, wait, how did I get to this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sounds to you like it's a female that's writing this email. And I would say this too, this fear of driving the person away. I think if you have that fear that if you say you want to remain pure until marriage, that's going to drive that person away, I think even more of a reason why you should bring it up and say that you have these convictions. Because you believe that this is the person you're going to marry, but if you tell them you want to remain pure until marriage, that they're going to all of a sudden not want to be married to you. There's some serious issues in that relationship.
Yeah.
I think sooner than later, you should say, hey, these are my convictions. I want to remain pure. And you know what? If that drives them away, good
yeah.
riddance.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of person that you want to be with and spend the rest of your life with anyways. You know, it's so funny. You said that I think this is the person I'm going to marry. I love this person. I want to take the next step and show them that I really love them. Well, that's called marriage, not having sex. That next step is marriage, is you know, saying, man, I love this person. We've been dating for a long time. I want to make this more serious. That's marriage, not having sex.
Yeah.
So that's the next step. And if that's scary, if they say, no, well, I can't marry you until I have sex with you, there's some serious issues there. And that's not a relationship that you want to seal anyways. And so I think sooner rather than later, you need to let that person know, look, these are my convictions. Because here's the issue. What happens is when we have sex with somebody and we give something to them that's only meant for marriage, we create this little mini marriage because we've given to them a part of ourselves that was only meant for our spouse. And what we do in our culture is we create these mini marriages. And then what happens is when they end, when they fall apart, it's like a mini divorce. I mean, it's ugly. And that's why people have these ugly breakups where, you know, half the friends have to hang out with this person now and half the friends have to hang out with the other person. And it looks like a divorce because they've given things that are only meant for marriage. And so it can never end well within that standpoint. God reserved those things, not just for our physical health, but for our emotional and for our spiritual health. And no wonder the divorce rate is so high today, because what we're teaching ourselves is that it's okay to give something that's only meant for marriage. Then when you get bored, it's okay to just pack up your bags and and leave. Mm. And so we're teaching ourselves that in this dating relationship, that you can give yourself away, you can have sex, you can create this union, and then you can leave when you don't like the person anymore. And that carries into marriage. And so when people get into marriage and they've had sex with this spouse and they get bored and they find someone else that seems better, they feel this inclination to just leave because we're teaching ourselves that as a culture. So that's why it's so important to reserve that for marriage and reserve that for your spouse.
338-3700. You guys can call in if you are dealing with something, you have a question. It's Shock Therapy Live. I know we have some more emails.
Oh, yeah. Check this one out. Taking a complete different path. Hey, guys, I need to keep this one anonymous. I found out that the pastor that led me to Christ just resigned due to some very hard-to-believe things, affairs, stealing church money. My question is, how does someone who is so knowledgeable in the Word of God and is so great at preaching sermons, how are they doing that kind of stuff at the same time? I know he's human, and making mistakes is going to happen, but it's been going on for so long, apparently. It's like 14 years. I have to believe that at some point he really, truly was saved and knew Christ and want to know if there's anything else besides praying that can be done so hopefully he could get right or back on the right track. Thank you for your insight in advance.
So the question is, how is that possible for him to fall?
How is that possible? And then I think that's just kind of coming from a place of shock. But then practically, it's like, what can I do besides praying to try to help that person restore?
Well, I guess it depends what kind of a voice you have into that person's life as far as what you can do. The thing with ministry is isolating. Mm-hmm. And it's isolating by the nature of it, but Satan wants to isolate us even more. And so what happens is in ministry, you're put on this platform, you're put on this pedestal, and it's a biblical pedestal. The Bible says that those who teach are worthy of double honor, that we're to esteem those leaders, and that we're supposed to honor those leaders. And so it's isolating in that nature, that you're platformed on this position, that you're responsible for people's spiritual growth to a certain extent. And so it's an isolating position to be in. And what happens is Satan wants to come along, and any leader in the church, and really any person has a leadership position in general, and Satan wants to isolate us even more and say, man, you know what, you can't talk to anybody about your struggles. You can't talk to anybody about the things that you're going through because that, you know, you'll lose your job, or, you know, people will know who you really are. And Satan wants to further isolate that person in leadership and push them further and further away until they get to a point where they feel like whatever they're dealing with, they can't talk to anybody about, they can't deal with, they can't be honest with their spouse, with their overseeing pastors, with their pastoral friends, with anybody. They've got to isolate. And once we're isolated, that's when Satan will bring in temptation into our lives. Because it's smart. If you think about it, Satan won't bring in that temptation when we're in a place where we can deal with it spiritually, I don't believe. I think Satan's a tactician. And so it's once we're isolated and Satan knows that we can't deal with that temptation, that sin correctly, that he'll bring that temptation in full force. And then what happens is, because, as that person said, you know, these pastors, these leaders are humans, is they'll get this temptation that will come into their lives, and maybe at first they'll be able to withstand it, maybe at first they'll be able to push it away, but because they've isolated themselves, because they've put themselves in this position of not talking to people about their struggles, those struggles become their sins. Mm-hmm. Because they're not talking about, hey, you know what, I had a really tough time, there was this cute girl who walked past me at a Starbucks, and I really struggled with that. They're not talking to people about those struggles, and so eventually those struggles turn into those sins, and they're not talking to people about those sins. And so the question of how could this become, you know, a 14-year thing where no one knows, they've become so good at isolating themselves, they've become so good at not being transparent, they've become so good at putting on this mask that it's very easy to hide because they've lived their life in a life of isolation. They've lived their life in a life of this platform of not letting anybody see what they're really struggling with, what they're really dealing with. And that's how it can become a 14-year epidemic. Mm. You know, thank God for those people who start struggling with the sin and get caught in it within the first year, because they haven't become that good at isolating. They haven't become that good at hiding. And you know, I think that it's a blessing from the Lord when our sin finds us out, because the sooner that it does, the easier it is to recover and deal with it. The longer that it goes on, the harder it is to rise back up from that. Mm. So what can you do in that person's life? Well, if you have a voice into their life, if they've allowed you to have that voice, again, it's isolating to be in ministry. So if this person hasn't allowed you that voice into their life, you know, the best thing you can do is pray for them. A lot of those pastors, you know, I've got a friend of mine who actually, it's more of a friend of my dad who struggled in that area, who fell. And he didn't allow a lot of people to have a voice into his life. But the people who he did allow to have a voice into his life could have a great impact because they were peers, because they were people that could talk to him and encourage him and help him in those areas. And, you know, he's out of ministry, but at the same time, he's got men in his life who can talk to him and who can encourage him and help him.
Yeah,
help
isn't,
him
it, isn't it important who you share that, that what your struggles with as well? I mean, you don't want to just go to anybody that will listen. You know, you want to find somebody that you can trust, somebody that's been there for you, that that
I think someone who can understand the pressures, you know. I think it's in anything. Again, what you take it to a, you know, just the level of just a normal person who goes to church. The people who you want to have your accountability with are people who you trust, people who you know, people who you know have your back, and people who you know are going through a similar walk in life with you. So again, the person that I'm going to go to you know, for an accountability partner isn't going to be a single dude. It'd be a married dude, you know, because there's an understanding that we're walking through the same part of life. For me, individually as a pastor, the person that I'm going to go to is probably going to be a pastor as well. My accountability partners, some of the best ones are pastors who don't even live in Albuquerque. They're pastors who live in other states that I can talk to and, you know, be honest with and be transparent with. So I think you want to find that person in the same walk of life that you're in because there's an understanding of the same pressures and how to deal with it in a very unique way. So again, a pastor of this church, maybe, you know, 14 years, he's like, man, how did I never know? Well, because he's never going to go to you if you're just, if you're not a pastor, he's never just going to go. And it would be really unhealthy if your pastors every week got down from the pulpit, stood at front of the stage and told the congregation, hey, can I tell you what I struggle with this week? It'd be really, really unhealthy. Because again, these people are responsible for the spiritual leadership, for pouring into you spiritually. And of course, everyone struggles, but that's not going to help you to hear how that person struggles.
And I also would add, I'm sure they chimed in an email. It was anonymous, but they chimed in enough to know or to ask a question. So I'm hoping that they hear this with the right heart. I'm definitely not coming from a place of condemnation, but I also would say it's a very scary place to be if you can take a look at a situation and go, ugh, how could someone ever do that? I would never. I've learned long ago that I'm a solid two steps away from destruction, basically at all times, apart from Christ. We are human beings. We are all fallible. We all fall short. And yes, we do esteem pastors, as you said, double portion, right? But at the same time, I think a lot of times, sometimes, because I have great friends in ministry that are at that level, and I think a lot of times because they are placed at such a high esteem, if you will, they kind of start to believe this infallibility. They start to kind of believe that they are greater than the system, if you will, that they are greater than you know, the I don't want to say lowly peasant, but they can kind of tend to start believing the hype about them. And so not hyping them to a place of the throne, because there's only one on the throne. But I think also, too, examining yourself and realizing, man, apart from Jesus, I am wicked. I am vile. And try not to, I guess, esteem yourself so much so that you believe, I could never. I don't understand it. Because I do get it. There have been times where we've seen friends fall, and it's like, dang, man, how could you? I mean, you got this, and you had this, and you had and this, and this, and this, and how could you, and why would you? And you get frustrated, and then you have to take it back to God's word, and you have to take it straight to the Lord,
you know, and
remember
we're not beyond that. Again, I think that Satan is a tactician. I think there's a reason that a lot of pastors fall is because of sexual sin, because I think Satan's kind of found the wheelhouse in the sense that, you know, you hear your pastor, you know, had a beer. You're not going to be like, oh my gosh, how's that person in ministry? Maybe at some churches you would, but it's not going to be as big as, oh, your pastor slept with five different people. That's an immediate disqualification for a bishop and a deacon. And so I think Satan's found that wheelhouse of, okay, how can I get these pastors out of churches as quick as possible? Oh, adultery is that that thing that will get them out? Adultery is that thing that will cripple churches? Adultery is that thing that will drive people away from Christ? Great. That's my wheelhouse, and that's going to be the sin that I'm going to use within the church of this century to cripple churches and to cripple Christians. He's found it, and so he uses it. Again, that's what you see. That's the biggest thing you see in churches today, whether it's in the Catholic Church and sexual sin of molestation. You know, I watched that movie Spotlight. Goodness, that was tough to see and tough to think that that happened, you know, in our generation. But he found that wheelhouse, that sexual sin, and he uses it, he exploits it. And so as a pastor, it puts this sobering reminder that, man, we need to gird ourselves up and we need to guard those walls in our lives even more so in that area, maybe even in other areas, because Satan's using, exploiting that sin and that temptation within the church today.
And you're right. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I know we're talking about, this email was about a pastor, but, you know, I think of everybody that's listening right now, and even me included. I love it when a brother in Christ or a friend comes to me and they tell me what they're struggling with, because I don't know, it makes me feel better, because, oh man, you struggle with that too, or you it makes me feel better about my life in a way. I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of times we can think in our minds that I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't go to my buddy and confess this or ask for help, because he's going to completely look at me differently now. And we start to tell each other, you know, tell our mind starts playing tricks on us, you know. And for me, when somebody comes to me and asks for help, I can kind of breathe a little bit better because I know somebody else is struggling with. Maybe it's the same thing that I'm struggling with, and we can have that bond and relate and help each other.
And it can, in turn, as you said, have that bond, because you never know. Maybe a couple of years down the road, you're the one that's dealing with it. You're the one struggling with it. And when someone is open to say, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm struggling with this, I'm falling here, I'm failing, man, I need prayer, I need support, I need accountability, it in turn creates a, hey, this is a quote-unquote safe place, if you will. In turn, you will be more open to share your faults, your fears, your frustrations, your whatever it is. And you're right, that bond grows and grows, which is why going back to the last guy, accountability is so vitally important. You have to have it, because we can give you advice all day long and say, hey bro, sex before marriage, here's some cool tips and tricks to get through. But if you don't have that accountability in your life, we could talk till we're blue in the face, and no amount of podcasting is going to get you through the situation, apart from that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a pastor I heard on our sister station, KNKT, talking about accountability, but he was saying that when he flies somewhere, he knows himself, so he always takes another pastor with him, his best friend with him, because he knows himself. And he knows if he's alone, he doesn't want to put himself in those situations. And I thought that was really cool, because, you know, you're always looking ahead. How can I make sure that, you know, Satan doesn't put out that booty trap, you know? And
the booty trap.
That's what I said.
The booty trap.
Instead of booby trap?
That's what I said. Because
booby trap would have worked too, and it's actually the correct terminology.
That's what I said, booty trap.
Well, there was, have you ever heard of, it's so important to have that accountability. Have you ever heard of Billy Graham's Modesto Manifesto?
No.
So when Billy Graham first started ministry, he got along with the guys that he started ministry with. Cliff Barrows, one of the main guys, and they came up with the Modesto Manifesto. What the Modesto Manifesto was it was a set of rules and regulations that when they traveled, this was the way that they were going to live their lives, and this is what they were going to do and what they weren't going to do. And this is why it was called the Modesto Manifesto. The team gathered in a hotel room in Modesto, California, and they drew up a compact that became known as that Modesto Manifesto. And let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Keep talking amongst yourselves and I'll find it.
On a dark desert highway.
338-3700. I know somebody's on hold. If you've been waiting patiently, we appreciate you. You still there?
Yes, indeed. This is Rhett.
Rhett's in effects.
If it's all right, I just wanted to sort of speak to your current topic from a slightly different angle. I actually know of a pastor who ended up having to leave the ministry because of some sexual sin. And it was exactly like you say, you know, it's, the devil always finds a weakness. He always finds, you know, that he finds your point of weakness, and then he attacks you there. And in this case, the pastor's wife had actually passed away, and he wound up through various, you know, it wasn't like all of a sudden, it was gradual, but over a period of, you know, 3 to 4 years after the death of his wife, it came to light that he was in the process of having an inappropriate relationship with his daughter. Fortunately, it was his adult daughter, and, you know, fortunately, you know what I'm saying there, but it was really interesting because, yes, there was a massive amount of fallout, and yes, you know, there was a great deal of healing that needed to be done and a great deal of repentance that needed to be done. But about 10 years later, this pastor now actually speaks to other pastors about his experience and about, you know, just ways to, things that he didn't do that he should have. And so it's coming from the voice of experience, so to speak. And so if there is anyone out there, any ministers or whatever that have fallen from grace, if you will, and feel like, you know, well, that's it, I've totally, you know, foobarred my calling, that's not necessarily the case. God can, in fact, turn it around, but you have to have a heart that's truly repentant, and you have to be willing to take the steps to, you know,
yeah,
be accountable, like you guys were saying.
Thanks,
so,
man. We appreciate the call, buddy. We do.
So good.
Love you, Rats.
So here it was. So basically what happened is when the when Billy Graham started his ministry, evangelism had a really bad name in the culture for a few reasons. Number one, evangelism was known for exploiting people's money and bringing in more money and trying to simply, you know, pass it again to get more and more money. So it was really known for abusing finances. It was known in that time for lying about the numbers that it had by puffing it up and making it seem bigger than it was. So it had a lot of misdealings. And so the Modesto Manifesto, these guys got into a room, and this was the pact that they made. They resolved, number one, to never exaggerate attendance figures at their meetings to guard against lying and deceit. Number two, to take only a fixed salary from their organization to guard against financial thievery. So that a fixed salary, they'd never let that increase, so they wouldn't be able to get more money for the big crusade. To number three, to never be alone with a woman other than their wife, mother, or daughters to guard against sexual sin. And even to that note, when they would tour and they would get into a hotel room, they'd have the TVs removed from the hotel room so it would guard against pornography. And then number four, to never criticize fellow members of the clergy to guard against pride. So they made it their goal to work with churches, to work with clergy. And so they kind of came up with those four things, and they lived their lives and they lived their ministry by that Modesto Manifesto. Anywhere they went, they lived based on those four things. And it affected their ministry because it guarded against the things that caused people in the church to fall. Pride, a sense of financial, you know, to do it for financial gain, lust and sexual impropriety. So it guarded against all of those things within their ministry. And I think that's one of the reasons why God really blessed it, was that they set that up as a pact amongst themselves early on in their ministry.
Can you email that to me?
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So, you know, it's I think it's important. It's important to set up for us those safeguards within our lives. And again, Billy Graham, you know, the greatest evangelist of all time, had a group of men that he was accountable to, a group of men that were walking through the same walk of life that he was accountable, that they talked about their struggles with, that they prayed with each other with. And so if Billy Graham had that in his life, I think it's so much more important that every one of us does, too.
And I think Teo found that this morning on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
He found that accountability with Steve-O and I.
Okay.
And little Jay Danger and Don.
Beans.
Oh, man.
Beans the cat.
We're his accountability partners.
Hey, you guys leave Beans out of this?
Yeah.
I got to protect that cat.
338-3700. We got a couple lines open if you'd like to call in. It's Shock Therapy Live. We have Pastor Nate Heitzig here. Of course, Teo's here. Steve-O's here.
Beans.
Beans is here.
Beans is here in his furry spirit.
So, got another email? Yeah, I got a question, though.
You got a couple.
Why do you like cats?
Why not?
Because I got a cat and I hate it.
Personal preference.
I mean, that thing
is... just a bad cat.
It's just... It's crazy.
Why'd you get it? Your dad hates cats.
My wife was like, we should get a cat for the kids. Oh. We got a cat. It was a bad decision.
Well, you just get rid of that one and get another one.
Cats destroy more than dogs do.
No.
They do.
I have pictures
everything.
That kind of prove otherwise this week.
No, I'm getting that cat's toes cut off in a couple weeks.
Don't do that.
Don't think that's legal. Don't think you can. Speaking of awesome dogs, though.
Decline, they say decline is like cutting part of your toe off, like part of your finger off.
They used to think that decline was a temporary pain, but I guess now, like... the studies and whatever, they're like, nah, they kind of deal with that for the rest of their lives.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, they cut dogs' tails off.
Not mine.
Who
little
cuts
curly
the
Q?
Dog's tail off?
Little
that's
curly
huge,
Q.
People dock dogs'
tails. Or
tails.
Clip ears. They clip ears on some dogs.
My father-in-law is a retired cattle rancher. They had to clip the dog's tails because for the blue heelers that were chasing around the cattle, if the cattle ever stepped on the tail, boom, boom, just dead. Mm-hmm.
Gone,
dead
dog.
Puppy. So, so sometimes it was definitely for their benefit.
They say that now there's a new procedure for cats where they can just kind of clip the tendons so the claws won't come out.
Oh. How did we get to this?
They'll have a study.
Speaking of, if you love animals, coming up on Friday, our girl Josette from Swarf will be joining us.
I cannot
wait for this. Starting something
Swarf?
New.
Is that like a Star
the
Trek?
The Southwest
thing?
Animal Rescue Fund.
But it's all dogs.
Nonprofit
right?
organization, and so if you're looking for a puppy, they're a rad organization that helps get animals into your home. And again, nonprofit.
I'm still going to choose to believe that it's about Star Trek.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine.
338-3700.
Gosh. I wonder if she has to dress up as Worf when she goes out somewhere.
No, Swarf.
Swarf. I'm Swarf. Can like we She-Hulk. Ask her to do that? I'll text her. It'll happen.
Okay, we got an email.
I'm convinced that every Klingon, female Klingon, is named Swarf. Every single
Swarf.
One. They all are called Swarf.
I am Swarf.
And now transitioning to a serious email.
And now a serious email.
Maybe it's a question about Star Trek.
It's not at all. I speak from a different perspective. I can relate to all four of you guys as being saved and wanting to keep myself from sex before marriage, but I can also relate to sex before marriage, although I did marry the girl. In high school, I didn't date much. I was the straight preaching choir the fire kid in high school. I got along with everybody, but didn't really like the hypocritical church-going youth. Steve-O, I probably would have hated you. Smiley face. I was shy and only went on 3 or 4 dates. College, I wanted to go crazy and sow my wild seeds, but God had other plans and put some solid believers in my life. So I focused my college life on the Lord, fasting and seeking his face. My maturity led me to praying for the type of wife I wanted to, praying to the type of husband I needed to be. Okay. I studied biblical relationships and spent much time in the prayer closet. Things go bad when I lose my grandfather to cancer. A year later, I lost my grandmother despite my skipping a semester in college to help out with her last 4 months while battling cancer. I wanted God to heal her, but that's a long story. I returned to college, and my friends and I started a church a couple months later. Things go from great to weird in about 3 years, and I'm slowly fading in my faith. A young lady had come into my life, and after 2 years of being friends and gently pushing her away from dating, we began to date. She initiates everything from the first date to the first kiss and eventually to intimacy. I'll keep it short. We ended up marrying, but I found myself wondering, what if I had stayed pure? Did I fail God? Am I forgiven? Do I really love her? So many doubts. My marriage has been built on these doubts because we never repented and stopped. Did I marry her because I felt guilty about what we did? I don't know. We were going through a divorce, and now we're trying to work things out. We have 2 beautiful boys, but if I could, I would do it all over again. Sounds weird, sounds cold, but I urge you with all my heart to seek God and refrain from intimacy before marriage. It's so much more than a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the big issue there within a Christian relationship is you second guess and you question yourself like, man, if I was willing to do that or if that person was willing to drop their convictions and drop their standards to have sex with me before marriage, would they be willing to do it again? And it does. It causes all this doubt. It causes all this unneeded baggage into the relationship. And that's why, again, if you love somebody enough to get married to them before having sex with them, then the gratification of saving that sex for marriage is, you know, just over the top. Mm-hmm. And so I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I just can't wait. So when you have to stay pure before marriage, it just makes you get married that much quicker because you want to have sex. Man, what a terrible reason to have sex, to try to blame having sex and breaking, you know, breaking the laws of God and blaming it on that. That's ridiculous, because the negatives to that are so much greater. Again, what this guy's dealing with, saying, man, did we just get married because we had sex and we felt guilty, and so I felt that I had to marry this person because I had sex with them. I think that the negatives are far greater than the positives.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, though, we can't just end it like you can't leave it, friend that emailed. You can't leave it where you are, because we're talking earlier about the devil working through isolation, and what he's done is he's taken your doubts and he's isolated you with those doubts. You can't just spend the rest of your marriage saying, did I fail God by sleeping with her because we got married? Like, is he secretly mad at me? And so there's like, you know, if something goes wrong, he's going to be like, boom, that's because you had sex before you got married. I've been waiting for this, because that's not God.
Yeah.
And so you can't sit there and just keep miring around in your doubt, wondering. I mean, you just said you've got two beautiful boys.
Yep.
But if you could, you would do it all over again. It sounds to me like these doubts have a heavy, heavy hold on you. So much so that you're almost excusing your boys in a way, not totally, but in a way. You can't fall back on that. That's a big reason why people get divorced. Mm. It's because they go back and they say, you know what? We didn't do it perfectly.
We were
the first
young.
Time.
Yeah. We were pressured by the church.
And
or
try to
parents,
blame it and say, well, I don't know if that was the right person or if that was the one for me. Look at whether you believe that person was the one for you or not, the second you said I do, that became
I'm so
God's
glad
one
you just
for you.
Said that.
The second you said, yes, I'm going to marry you, that became the person that God had chosen for you.
I know way too many people in ministry, seriously, in ministry, that unfortunately have this conversation regularly of, well, we were Christians, we were wanting to do the right thing, it got hot and heavy, we knew we probably weren't going to be able to, you know, and we were instructed by our pastor or our youth pastor, somebody, like, if you can't keep it in your pants, you man, do the right thing, you guys got to get married. I know so many people who got married under that guise and then are now looking at it in their 30s going, man, I just feel like if I had only stood
thought
by
about
God,
it a little
if
more.
If I thought about it a little more, da da da. And you're right; it doesn't matter.
Because
maybe it was under a false pretense, but I always go back to the book of Judges, where Samson was under the Nazirite vow and was told, "Hey, don't screw around with the wrong people." And he's like, "But this Philistine chick, yo!"
Yeah.
And he did under the wrong pretense, and God still used it for His glory.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not saying it was the correct thing to do, but the fact of the matter was, he did it. It's a done deal. God had to use it in a different way. And so you can't look back and say, oh, God, if only I had, if, because there are no what ifs.
Well, look at David and Bathsheba, man.
Sucks, man.
That relationship didn't start it on the right terms.
Nope. Yeah.
And as far as we know, they were still together when David died.
Yeah,
and check this out. I want to share.
Dude, Johnny Cash and June Carter, am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, adultery, and they just turned out great.
Walk hard.
God uses it.
I want to tell you the other side of it, too. Because I saved myself from marriage.
Yes, he did.
And on both sides, you're dealing with the same thing. Did I do it right? Because then you save yourself from marriage, and you get married, and you still have problems.
Right.
And there's the part of the problem with purity culture, because that's what it was in the 90s. It was hardcore purity culture in youth group.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, purity rings. You have, what was the big movement thing? It was, I can't remember what it was. True Love Waits.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So anyway, the big problem with that is you get on the other side, you saved yourself a marriage, and then you have problems, be it financial, intimacy, anything. And then you think, God, I did this right. I did this your way. And now I've got issues. You owe me.
Yeah.
Mm. I did this right. Mm. And now you're going to give me these problems? So what I'm saying is, either way, you're going to deal with this stuff.
Mm.
So you can't, you're holding it to that standard of, did I do it perfectly? That's your heart issue. And that doesn't matter to God because of, I mean, did Jesus die on a cross and raise from the dead for no reason? You know, if it comes down to something where you're saying, did I do this right? If I would have done this right, would it be better? That's life. That's humanity. That's every single problem with every single issue.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, it applies to your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way things are.
I mean, you said it this morning on that Delilah call. You got the creditors after you, you know?
Debt, just debt collectors at my door.
Dex collectors.
It's true, though. For real, please take that to heart, because you can choose to let this go and live your life in joy and in victory. You can choose that. I'm not saying you're not going to deal with it, but if you hold on to this stuff wondering if you did it right or if it was good enough for God, that's not salvation. And we have to believe that God's grace is bigger than our actions. We have no faith. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good.
338-3700. We got a little bit of show left here. Shock Therapy Live. We got Pastor Nate Heitzik joining us in studio. And we got a ton of emails this morning.
Yes.
And that's the way to do it. If you can't get through the phone lines, it's studio at star88.fm. You can also message us on Facebook if you'd like.
The thing is, when it comes to sexual sin, there is so much shame that's attached to it that a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to be known. They don't want their voice to be heard. Because there is so much shame that's attached to it. And, you know, I feel like there's more shame attached to sexual sin than any other sin in our culture today. And it is isolating. And so it's tough to talk about it, but it's so healthy to talk about it at the same time.
Truth. More with that, this heavy email. Why do churchgoers tend to dress up for the services? Are there any biblical references to show why this should be done? That's a real email. We really got that.
Gosh, you know, if there are biblical references to it, I think it would come from a lot of cultural things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in Timothy, it talks about don't adorn yourself with pearls, dress modestly, you know, don't braid your hair, things like that. So I think if there's any biblical stance for why people should dress or not dress a certain way, it's in large part cultural.
Totally.
More than anything.
And it seems very old school.
Yeah. Well, it's cultural, but I think that there's still a spiritual standpoint to take from that. You know, the reason that, you know, Paul told Timothy to not let the women dress like that is because in Ephesus, where Timothy was, there was a huge problem with prostitution. And women who wore pearls and women who braided their hair was a sign of a prostitute. And so it was a sign that, oh, man, that person is a floozy. And so if you dressed up like that, it sent the wrong message to men within the church. And so I think if there's a spiritual takeaway, that it's that we should be careful with what we dress and what we're associating ourselves with in the world. You know, in our culture, braided hair might not mean that you're a prostitute, but a plunging neckline, 6-inch high heels, and a miniskirt that, you know, is 5 inches below your waist, that's a sign of a prostitute. So maybe don't dress like that when you come to church. You know, I think that the standpoint is be careful with how we're making ourselves appear before God and before men. And I think the bigger thing is don't do anything that would cause someone to stumble or that would cause someone to sin. So, you know, if you wearing that plunging neckline is going to cause people to be stumbled at your place of employment or cause people to be stumbled at your church, don't wear it.
True.
Don't pull the, well, that's just stupid and I should be able to wear what I want. You esteem that your brothers and sisters higher than yourself. I think would be kind of the takeaway from verses like that.
I had an experience. This was years ago. At a church I grew up in Montana, and it's still to this day, I think about it, and it frustrates me because I think there are people in the church that, you know, are either, they either work there or they're volunteering. And I remember there was somebody who confronted me, and they were upset on how I was dressed. They didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I apologized and went on and said, you know, next time I'll definitely make sure I, you know, wear something more appropriate to your liking. But then I started thinking about it and I was thinking, what if that was my first experience at church? What if I wasn't a Christian yet? And this person comes up to me and starts attacking me about what I'm wearing. I would have been like, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back, you know? Yeah. And, I think you got to be really careful too on how you approach people on, you know, what they're wearing. You don't know the person, you don't know where they're at in life, you know. And so, I like the culture now, especially, you know, Calvary here is so cash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's way, you know, Sagebrush was the same way. A lot of churches are just come as you are, and I think that's great because, you know, if you put all these expectations on people, I think that's going to stop people from making that leap of faith and that choice to come to church, you know?
Yeah. But I would also say on the flip side, for those of us that are business cash, you know what I mean? Like, or rocking it casual. Because I lead worship at Calvary Knob Hill, and I am definitely aware of my attire on Sundays because I don't... I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy. Mm. But on Sundays, I don't sport jeans and a t-shirt. Yeah, I'll rock the jeans, but it's I usually will wear a button-up shirt to a point where Daniel's made fun of me. He calls it my battle drums uniform because I do dress a little nicer to that regard. But it's because I know that as a worship leader, we are ushering people into the throne room of God, essentially, right? We're preparing hearts and minds to hear from the Lord, from His Word. And I want to be mindful and respectful of that. And I would also say to those that are like, nah, bro, that's legalistic to wear a suit and da-da-da-da-da. You don't know the heart of that person. Maybe they want to dress up because they're going to church. And to them, this is a big deal. We're going to church and we're going to kick it. And I mean, Nate, you're always dressed to the nines in regards to like your attire. I think you wear yourself well in that regard. I'm not saying like you have to wear suits, but
yeah.
You dress well. You buy nice clothing. Your dad always looks dope.
Well, I think you don't want to be.
You know what I mean?
I don't think you want to be a distraction to someone's worship. You know what I mean? And so you don't want to come in like on
flip
Sunday
flops.
With like Dorito stain on your shirt and like a little bit of Mountain Dew stain on your pants.
Why are you looking at me?
No,
you're the chubby one.
See, he took it to a
I love Mountain Dew.
He loves Mountain Dew. He's always got wing stains on his shirt.
But you know, you don't want to be rolling into church like that. You know, if you're not going to show up to a job interview like that, don't show up to church like that. You know, there's this sense of you don't have to dress like, oh my gosh, like why I don't wear a suit except on Sundays. You don't have to do that.
No.
But at the same time, there's this sense that you don't want to come looking like a slob.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that's a little bit more. Just in life, like I think in life, but there's this beautiful part. And I was in Montana this past week, and Levi Luska was talking about this. Is that in life, a lot of times we feel like we have to put our best foot forward, and so we feel like, man, I'm at a job interview, I'm going to dress like this, or I've got to put this image of myself out there. I've got to make people think that I'm this kind of a person. But we don't have to put our best foot forward with God, and it's okay to come to church wearing sweatpants on the inside, and be who you are, and not have to put on these pretenses, not have to put on this view of this is who I am, and this is what I look like. It's okay to come just as we are, to be sitting in worship and be a hot mess. You know, it's okay to be a hot mess, and just be as you are when you're in that relationship with God. And I think that does drive a lot of people away from the church. They're feeling that I've got to put this image on to associate and be like these people. Mm. And, you know, I think that when it comes to the world, coming to church, come as you are.
Amen.
Now I think what Steve was talking about, those who are in leadership, those who are in that place, I don't want to be a distraction to someone's worship. So I'm going to dress differently than what I would tell someone who's coming to the church to come dressed as. Because I recognize that when I come to church, there's people who don't like it when I wear a leather jacket to church. They're like, man, that's disrespectful. That doesn't necessarily stop me from wearing it, but it does keep me mindful of, you know what, I don't want to wear anything. I'm not going to come and stand on church with a Corona shirt.
Is that why you shaved your stash? Because somebody confronted you and said,
sorry, man. Hey, it was one time.
I shaved the stash because I was sick of taking care of it.
The funny thing is one time.
That thing's harder to take care of than my kids.
One summer Sunday, I was sporting flip-flops, rocking worship, and a dude actually did confront me saying, this is the house of the Lord, and how dare you, blah, 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 blah. And I remember thinking, my first thought was, what kind of shoes did Jesus wear? But then, when I actually thought about it, I don't want to be that distraction. Aaron Gillespie was here at main service rock and worship one time, and we were backstage hanging out, and he was wearing a t-shirt, and he said, do I need to cover my tattoos, do I need to put on a dress shirt, I don't want to be a distraction, I don't, you know, but he was gonna have to run out to the van and try and find a shirt. And I said, dude, no, don't you, but the heart behind it was what counted to me, was the fact that what's your heart behind it. Are you wanting to do everything as unto the Lord and honor Him in that and be respectful and esteem others above yourself?
That's very true.
Because that's
the element of worship and teaching is to put all the focus on God.
Amen,
so,
dude.
Do you want somebody staring at your toes or staring at the songs, the lyrics of the song? You know, whether their heart's right or not, the more we can do to minimize people's distractions, the more important
it is. It's like you said, it's cultural.
Yeah.
Remember, guys, if you go to church and you get offended by people's sandals or their clothes, if you got transported in time back to Jesus' time, everyone wore dresses.
Right.
So,
that's why
Steve-O's getting all his tattoos removed this week.
That's right.
All right, that'll do it for Shock Therapy Live. If you have a question, maybe you're out there listening right now, and you know, you can just email us. We can answer you throughout the week. We'll save it for next week. studio@star88.fm. And Pastor Nate Heitzig, thank you so much, buddy.
Fun times.
Fun times, everybody. You guys have an amazing day. If you missed any of the show this morning, man, We had a little intervention with Teo this morning. Hit the podcast. Go to our Morning Invasion page at starradio.fm.
Hey, and you better think twice about which hot wings you grab this weekend.
Yeah. That's right, because psychological profiling will happen.
Your friends are all going to be judging you and who you are.
All right.
Caribbean jerk for the win.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, this is Teo from The Morning Invasion. Listen, I know you're hearing this podcast and you are, number one, blown away, and number two, asking yourself, how can I get in on that Morning Invasion action? Well, all you have to do is shoot us an email, radio@star88.fm. We're going to hook it up. You're going to become the Morning Invasion podcast sponsor. Your name's going to be in lights. It's going to be all over the internet, and you will finally find a way to connect with those crazy millennials. Radio@star88.fm.